I don't know what it is. My dog just loves going off during the podcast.
Do not speak ill of the wizard.
He wants to be in the podcast. That's why. Bring him on.
So what's this podcast about?
It's about video games.
It's about games.
Podcast about nothing.
It's about games we've
and
never
about Kickstarter.
Played. That's the whole podcast. I signed a house for next year recently.
You're getting a house.
Did I tell you about the base? No, the cave. That's right.
You have not told me about your house and the man cave.
It's not a man cave, right? Basically, we were hunting for houses, right? And we saw three houses. And one of them was big and quite nice. And one of them was slightly smaller and quite nice. And one of them was a house now that we sort of refer to it as the cave. Oh, and basically, geez. We went in there, and it smelled like dead pigs and rotting flesh. Yeah. And we looked in, and it was freezing cold. It was like -1 Celsius, obviously not Kelvin, inside the house. And like we looked into the first room. And it was just like, it was piled like up until about waist level with junk, and there are massive stains on the walls, and like it didn't look like anyone sane lived there. And like we saw like the basement of doom, which is like a massive basement with nothing in it except like a bucket and a freezer. And if I wanted to get like a cornetto in the middle of the night, and sometimes you do get those middle of the night cornetto cravings, I would have to go down to the friggin' basement of doom and get a cornetto at the basement freezer. But everywhere was damp and moldy and smelt of death. And then the guy who owned the basement, no, the cave, that's right. He came home because he wasn't there when we arrived, and he said that the house had literally ruined his life, that he'd somehow become £1,500 in debt, that one of his housemates had mysteriously disappeared with absolutely no explanation.
Wow.
Yeah,
stay out of that place.
So,
wow.
Am I working?
Yeah, you're working.
Sorry, yeah, okay.
Sorry. Minor interruption. Cool. Anyway, the point is the house killed someone.
Hello and welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Video, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. I'm Happy Man, I'm hosting. I'm here with Catsman.
Hi-yo!
Dotsky.
He's gonna get cheese on toast.
Yeah, sweet cheese and sweet toast. Juju.
Hey.
Kay.
Hello.
Reinbach.
Greetings.
Taco Man.
Hola.
And Wes.
Yeah.
Hi. First thing I'm gonna mention... GLA podcast, 1 year anniversary. A little past it, actually, but it's pretty sweet. We've been doing this for a fucking year. Imagine that.
Yay!
Yeah. We're all so much happy. Rejoicing.
There was much rejoicing and party poppers abound.
Enthusiasm.
Did any of y'all like go back and listen to our super old episodes? They were pretty terrible, gotta say.
They were pretty terrible, especially terribly the awesome audio quality.
Yeah.
And my shitty, like back in the day, recording a podcast when Mumble didn't have the record feature was literally plugging the audio out into the audio in on an old laptop.
Oh, yeah. You used to have two computers to record this.
I had two computers, yeah. And I just sat one in the channel and it was like, But I did go back and listen to it because I introduced the very first podcast saying, and welcome to the 10th episode of Gentlemen Discussing Video. And so on the 10th episode of Gentlemen Discussing Video, I went back and used that as the intro. the first two episodes of any podcast, it was just like, it was more awkward silence than talking. Editing was literally a nightmare because it was just like, it was about 80% awkward silence.
Oh, man. We used to have like 3-hour recording sessions too, which was exhausting to say the least.
It wasn't exhausting for me. I mean, if you leave me in a room with nothing in it, I'll just start talking and I won't stop. I'm just one of those people.
Okay. I say we've come a long way, despite. I think we're doing a good job with this podcast now.
It's doing better.
So,
yeah.
our agenda for today, we're gonna do the top video picks for February. Gonna have the news to Kickstarter watch and go over what we've been playing. So, first off, top video picks.
And we're gonna have a fan fiction read by me at the end. Fiction.
I actually found one that's really great.
I found a few. One of them was like an ActRaiser fan fiction.
Oh man!
A fucking ActRaiser fan fiction, like Jesus Christ!
I went on fanfiction.net. There was a single fanfic for Altered Beast, but it had been taken down. And I really wanted to read that one Altered Beast fanfiction.
You see, it's just obscure shit like fanfiction of like Lego Racers and Train Simulator 2. You just got to think, well, what is there to write about Train Simulator? But someone somewhere has written something.
So, top video picks. Now, last time, our picks were DMC, Ni No Kuni, and Anarchy Reigns. But we're going to have to delay the results because all the sales figures haven't come in yet. But the picks for February are Crisis Free, Dead Space 3, and Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, which is still a stupid title even after hearing it for so long. Lost my
train of thought. You want me to give my picks?
Yeah, we're going to go down the list as usual. We're going to give our picks. Crisis 3, Dead Space 3, MGA Rising.
Okay, I think Dead Space 3 is going to sell like shit because the last one didn't sell quite as well as the first one. And EA have set themselves some ridiculously over the top like goals. Like, oh, this is going to be the last Dead Space unless it sells 80 million copies. Like, they're trying to fucking guilt
trip Dead
Space fans.
It's
going to
be a quad A game.
Did you hear about all the DLC?
Yeah, it's going to have like $100 worth of DLC.
Yep. Just that, like a bunch of
microtransactions.
Yep.
We're actually going to talk about those, but that's for later.
Fucking Dead Space 3. So I think Dead Space 3 in last place. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance is a platinum game. So it's against all common logic to say it'll sell best, but it's also a Metal Gear game, so it will.
I'd honestly give it about the middle ground for Metal Gear. It's not as big of a fan base as it used to be for Metal Gear.
Well, they've already like awkwarded friggin' Kojima into making endless extra Metal Gear games they didn't want to make. So obviously there's some demand for it, isn't there?
I'm a Metal Gear fan whore, so I'll probably end up buying it.
And I think Crisis 3 will be in second because who cares about Crisis at this point? Like, who honestly cares? Like, who cares?
I like Crisis.
I have a friend who loves Crisis, but he's also the kind of person who has to get all the best parts for his PC, and he constantly talks to me about his latest overclocking project or something like that.
Is he a hot-headed guy who gets angry a lot?
No.
Oh.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I knew
fat,
it.
So.
See, I'm really good at reading people's personalities from their computer buying habits. So that's my picks.
Where were they? I lost track.
I want MGS in first, Crisis 2 in second, and whatever the other one was in third.
Dead Space. Dods, what about you?
I'm actually going to swap Crisis 3 and Metal Gear Revengeance around, because, you know, Crisis 2 actually is hiding the graphics hype train, you know, and I know Crisis 2 actually did okay on consoles, so...
It was a pretty bad
That's
game,
That's my reasoning
though.
Behind it. Yeah, I don't care if the gameplay is going to suck.
Shit, I don't know. I got Metal Gear Dead Space Crisis.
I don't know. I'm going to say Dead Space 3 for first, just because they're marketing the shit out of that game, and even if, you know, a portion of the core gaming audience doesn't buy it, there's still going to be a bunch of casual people and people who will actually buy it. then I guess Metal Gear for second and Crisis 3 for third, because I haven't heard anything about Crisis.
I have a question, Happy Man, right?
Yes.
You said at some point a prize will be given out to the person who gets the best score.
Yeah.
So my question is, when is that, and is the prize a copy of Your Doodles Are Bugged?
I don't know. I just said we would declare a winner at some point. I guess we could split us up into seasons, kind of.
I extrapolated a prize onto that.
Okay, yeah, we'll say the winner gets a copy of Your Doodles Are Bugged. I don't even know what that is.
Fucking excellent.
Okay, what's your top video picks?
Don't you?
Go potassium. Pick.
Pick. Well, it's clear that Metal Gear would easily take the number one spot. The only problem is which one's going to be 2 and 3. I'm going to have to go with Crysis being 2 and Dead Space being 3.
Okay. Reinbach.
I'm going to copy Juju.
Taco Man.
What? Oh, yes, me. Okay. I think in third is going to be Crysis, because kind of like what Casman said. Like, I don't really think anyone cares about it much anymore. But, you know, some people do, obviously, but... And also, there's been very little kind of marketing for it that I've seen. I haven't seen much marketing on that. And I think second's going to be Metal Gear Rising, because it's going to do better than Crysis. And then I think first place is going to be Dead Space 3, because it's EA overhyping it as fuck. And people are going to buy that up like hotcakes. Even though it's going to be a complete bastardization of the game, it'll probably do best out of the three.
So Wes, video marketing consultant, what's your opinion?
He's our specialist, he'll know.
I'm about to lay a smackdown on this one. Alright, so first, I'm going to say it's Crysis 3 due to the fact that we just had a sale on Crysis 3 and or Crysis 2 and Dead Space 2. We just sold a bunch of them because I went down to $14. So we had a bunch of people come in that, so I'm going to say Crysis 3 for first because the online's still alive. A lot of people are still playing it. There's a lot of in-depth that people get into it. I'm going to say Metal Gear next, just because it's a Metal Gear game and a lot of people like Metal Gear. And then probably Dead Space 3 for last, just because Dead Space has been a dying title.
Who's breathing the mic? Okay. I got all the picks. That's all the picks. Next time in 2 weeks, we'll find out.
And the winner will get a free copy of Your Doodles Are Bugged.
Yep. In 2 weeks, we'll find out who won January's contest. I can spoil it right now. DMC sold the most. Anyway.
No, it didn't. That on PS3 and 360 combined, that game sold less than 500k. Well less than 500k. It sold half of what DMC4 did in its first week.
Oh, it did, so...
I thought that was a quarter.
Maybe it was a quarter. It sold fucking terrible.
It could.
Because we all unconditionally hate it. Even though it's probably the lesser of many evils and is still in its own right a decent creative experience, unlike, say, Call of Duty 4 Crisis or, you know, like, whatever other shit's been coming out. Dead Space 3, aka the death of horror forever.
Speaking of DMC, it's time for a free story. See, that was a sweet segue. Thanks, Catsman.
Thank you.
Nerds want Obama to pull Devil May Cry from shelves.
What? What, like, personally go around and take them
off?
You
know those, like, gifs you get on the internet where, like, a guy's sitting, like, on the sofa and he, like, spills his popcorn or something on the floor and just puts his hands up in the air and it says, "Thanks, Obama." Right,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Fucking Devil May Cry. Thanks, Obama. You let this happen, Obama.
You could have ended this.
I'm fully in support of that petition. If I were in the US, I would have signed it just because I'm a bit of an ass like that.
The actual petition has now been taken down, but there were news articles about it. And I saw it for myself, so...
Us gamers, we're so entitled, aren't we? We're just so entitled. That's the problem.
here's the petition's summary. We petitioned the Obama administration to get Ninja Fury's DMC Devil May Cry pulled off the shelves. Dear Mr. Obama, as a consumer to the video game industry, there is one video game that has caused a lot of controversy over the past few months. The name of the game is DMC Devil May Cry, made by Ninja Fury and Capcom. A majority of gamers are aggravated that this game has changed so much from its past predecessors, and the game actually insults the consumers in-game. Does it? Can
it's
anyone confirm this?
Its past predecessors?
Yeah.
Dude, the game's actually really good. The game's actually really good. It is a lot of fun.
You mean that has future predecessors as well?
But, like, does the game actually insult its consumers in-game?
Yeah.
No.
I thought they just insulted the idea of consumers in general. Because of that, you know, underlying message, you know, anarchy's cool, man.
Anyway, we as consumers did not want nor need this reboot, and we believe it violates our rights to have a choice between the originals or the reboot. This game is violating our rights as a consumer, and we believe it should be pulled off shelves from game stores due to its insulting nature and the fact that it violates our rights. Please, Mr. Obama, look into your heart and make the decision that will please us gamers.
I, for one, am for this petition.
This is retarded.
It violates my rights, my freedoms.
My freedoms.
Mr. Obama, please, Mr. Obama, please,
my freedoms.
Barack, I will get down on my knees and stop blaming you for insignificant things. I'll even forgive the whole drone strikes thing.
Nah, that whole petition is just one big joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be one big joke, right? I mean, no one's actually seriously signed it, right?
Just remember, people like this exist. And we see them every day.
You know, I was going to say, Catsman, I don't know if you want an answer to your question.
Yeah.
There, I'm sure somewhere in the world, someone saw this and thought, this is exactly what we need to teach those bastards, you know?
And he sounded exactly like that.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much, because, you know.
Perfect.
That's what
perfect
nerds sound
example.
Like, right?
The best thing would be like, if now Obama would issue an amendment of sorts saying that everyone has to buy the old DMC games to fight against Devil May Cry, the new one.
I would cry if that happened. Tears of fucking joy. I'd be crying and laughing. That would just blow my mind if the president actually did that.
I
would be surprised.
He would also probably be assassinated.
No. He'd probably be mocked heavily.
What if Obama supported this?
Supported what? This podcast? I think he does.
Yeah, I think he watches and listens.
I think we need to get a shout out from the President of the United States.
Prez, if you're watching this, Barack, leave a comment. I'll say whatever you want in my voice for free next podcast.
We need Why not just get him on the podcast?
This is probably where the president gets his foreign relations.
You know what? Time for,
In Obama's honor, I think we should read some Obama fanfic.
There's oodles of it out there. There must be.
Yep, there must be.
Send it to me, Happy. I want to read it.
Get fucking Barack on here to read fanfiction of himself.
That's what we should do. Have you ever read any of his own fanfic?
He must have.
Yeah.
What if he stands across it one day?
He has to. Come on. Even famous people have to read their own fanfics.
That's the first thing I would do if I was famous.
I don't know.
I would read the shit that people write about me just for shits and giggles.
Like, people get off to this stuff.
Story's just like a quick rundown of THQ and their bankruptcy. There's just one thing I'd like to bring up. Darksiders isn't being picked up by anyone, I think, right?
Or was
that
one wants
that changed?
Dude, it's so bad.
What?
My friend says it's the best game ever. I tried it. It's free on PlayStation Plus. I just can't get into it.
I like the first one.
It's pretty bad.
I can't play games with bad character designs. Bad character designs and bad music really rattle my pots and pans. I just can't get into them.
The second thing, though, that I'd like to bring up, which is a way bigger issue for me, is that nobody picked up the 50 Cent Blunt the Sand IP.
Oh, shit.
I'm crushed. Will there ever be a third 50 Cent game? Who knows?
That means there isn't going to be a third 50 Cent game.
Unless Trudy finds someone else to do it for him.
What if 50 Cent bought his own, you know, video game label and made a 50 Cent game with his own money?
That's what Vin Diesel did.
Would be the best game ever.
Did he?
Yeah, that's what he did with Riddick.
Really?
Yeah.
He funded the Riddick games?
Yeah, he like put together his own studio for it. He was basically like, hey, we're going to make a movie game that doesn't suck.
It was actually a good game.
I had no idea that Fiddy is the reason Chronicles of Riddick exists.
No, not yep. Fiddy. Vin Diesel.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That makes Fiddy a lot more sense, actually.
He put his Fiddy Sen in.
I'm laughing way more at this than is actually justified.
If we don't get a conclusion to the 50 Cent trilogy, I'll be really sad, because 50 Cent
did
is
they
actually
end it on a cliffhanger?
No.
What happened to that skull?
Okay, he finally gets his skull back from the bitch who took it.
No, what if
oh, God.
50 Cent makes a game and he predicts his own death?
Oh, man.
What? You mean he really dies in the game and he dies for real?
Yes.
No, just let me explain what happens, how he gets his skull back. I'm going to spoil 50 Cent Blood in the Sand. Oh, no, watch out.
Spoiler alert.
So bitch takes his skull, and he chases her during the course of the game, and he finally gets his skull back from the bitch. And so she says, no, 50, we can start over. Don't leave me here. And he says, you a crazy bitch. And then he gets in his Jeep, and puts his skull on the Jeep as like a hood ornament. That's why he wanted it. And then he just drives off. And I don't know what you heard about me. Place over the credits.
Word up.
It's such
that
a great
sounds amazing.
Game. It is amazing. I legit love that game.
That's a satisfying ending, though. That's not like
Mass Effect.
You know, I don't know where they could go with it that could possibly elevate it from there, you know?
Maybe another bitch steals his skull.
What if they steal the entire Jeep this time?
Oh, fucking
skull
God,
on.
No.
Bitch took my skull Jeep.
My Jeep skull.
And I say, like, which one went to EA? Didn't some people like go to EA, so now it'll be ruined forever. My boy, there's like banging coming through your mic, and it's like, I don't know what the deal is.
He's so mad he's about just not being on the podcast, he's just punching his mic like, oh,
why don't you work?
Nah, I think it's just too fucking solid, what the hell. Sensitive, I suppose. I'm just clicking my mice, but fuck it.
Try push to talk. Anyway, I was saying something again. I've completely forgotten what that was.
Someone
go
to EA.
Oh, yeah. What studio went to EA?
All of them.
I don't
think they actually did take any.
I'm sure they took one.
Did they get the Ultimate Fighting something games?
Nah.
Ultimate Fighters.
So, nothing important.
King of Fighters, maybe?
Okay, nothing important then.
Who did think like? Who got the WWE games?
No one.
Who plays wrestling games?
There's one,
white people.
There's one good thing about wrestling games.
Yes.
Fucking Video Rumbles.
Yes.
Making those, then there's not going to be any more Video Rumbles, man. I'm worried.
Oh, yeah, fucking Sega bought... No, wait, who was it? Who was it who bought Homefront? Someone bought Homefront.
Oh, Crytek.
They paid, Crytek, like, 500,000 times what Homefront is worth. Like, they paid more for Homefront than, like... They paid, like, three times more for it than it ever sold.
But don't they already have a game
lifetime
that is basically Homefront? You fight Koreans that, like, take over something?
It's Catch fucking man, the stupidest thing ever.
Maybe
they
there's going to be a crossover
for it.
Homefront Crisis.
I'm just saying, it's like 10 times any of the other studios paid for anything. It's like they were the idiots on The Apprentice who didn't bother to haggle. Fucking Crytek UK, honestly, what are they like?
Well, they were already making Homefront 2, and then they just paid to keep the license for it.
Oh no, Darksiders was sold to Sega.
Oh really?
Oh really?
Like that.
Oh well, Sega's, you know, I mean, well,
Sega's
all
only
big.
Just about to go under in about a year or two
as well.
They are
about to
also,
go under.
WWE is being picked up by Take-Two.
You see, things could have gone worse, really.
Oh wait, no. Wrong company. Darksiders isn't being picked up by anyone.
Oh,
However, the CEO of Platinum Games has expressed interest in picking it up and acquiring the franchise.
Yep. You see, I don't know why. They could make it good. I bet you. Yeah, I literally bet you.
That's Platinum sort of, you know, stuff.
Also, goddammit.
They just keep doing their own stuff.
I thought that shitty South Park game wasn't being made now, but Ubisoft picked it up, so it's still being made.
It's continuing.
But I thought South Park Studios was suing over it because they wanted complete creative control or something, and they might not get that with Ubisoft.
Yeah. I thought the game was still getting made.
Yeah, it is now.
I was kind of I was kind of looking forward to that game, especially with the presentation.
I'm looking forward to it. You get to make your own South Park character. Who doesn't want to make their own South Park character?
Like, I don't want to make my own South Park character.
I made my own character years ago on the internet.
Yeah, there's the generator thing. Everybody used it as their forum avatars.
For about 5 years.
Yep, I didn't.
Web 1.0. Back when people's signatures could be an animated GIF of a bird flying in a circle. Good times. Good times.
Am I the only one who feels really bad for Vigil Games, the people who did Darksiders? I think I heard that all the other studios got brought and that they were like on the Twitter going, are we not good enough?
I don't care. Maybe they should hire a character designer who knows how big a fucking human head is. Jesus Christ.
Compared to the body,
But from what I've heard, it's not all too bad. Some of them have actually gone to Crytek, and actually some have gone to Retro Studios, but don't quote me on that. I'm just trying to recite my memory here.
You're just making it up, aren't you, Duds?
No, I'm not!
Gears of War guys had some pretty fucking tiny domes.
Yeah, and I hate that too. I hate anything with tiny head syndrome that isn't doing it to take the piss. Warhammer kind of is doing it to take the piss. Speaking of which, isn't Warhammer going to EA?
No, it's going to Sega.
No, I thought like the over the shoulder shooty one was going to one person, and then the top down troopy one was going to another.
Yeah, I don't think anyone took up 40K, but regular Warhammer went to Sega.
So like the old fantasy one then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nobody even makes games of that.
I hope the people who do the Total War games come up with something there.
Yeah, I think there's plans for that.
Oh yeah, Sega owns them, don't I? That would be good.
Yeah, have you seen the guest characters in Sonic Racing?
Oh, Jet Set Radio!
No, they've got Football Manager in there.
What? And Shogun. The Shogun from Total War.
Oh, that's amazing.
I don't care, they got Football Manager.
That's astonishing. Yeah. Is Football Manager just like a bald guy?
He's a guy wearing a weird hat, I think.
All Football Managers wear weird hats.
Apparently that game's pretty fucking good. Sonic Racing.
Yeah, I played the demo for it. It was pretty damn cool.
Is Ryo Hazuki in it? He is, right?
He was in the first one,
and then they took him out of the second one.
Damn it!
And
okay, everyone thinks
it's gonna... they're gonna put him in as DLC because he was one of the favorites last time.
I will buy him as DLC if it comes to that.
I will only buy the game once Miku or Sigeta Sanshiro are announced for it. This is the only thing that could make me get it.
I posted a picture of the Football Manager. It literally is just like a small Rolls Royce with footballs for wheels and a person in a suit driving it. That's all it is.
It's footballs for wheels. And the number plate is MN4GR.
Oh, I also want Altered Beast Man as DLC.
Oh, fucking Altered Beast. Put fucking my two Alex favorite, Kidd in there.
Those are my two favorite Sega games, Shenmue and Altered Beast. They both have funny voice acting, so...
Maybe if you're lucky, they'll do Neptunia.
Oh, I haven't even played that.
Jesus, no.
Not anime,
haven't played Neptunia. God, what year is this?
Did Sega publish that? I thought it was Nice. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Sega had something to do with it.
All I know is that it has Keiji Inafune in it. That's the only thing keeping him alive.
Isn't there a game coming out on the Vita that Inafune is... What? I thought I just read somewhere recently that Inafune is is the lead director on some new PS Vita game that's coming out.
And it looks like bullshit.
Soul Sacrifice. Looks pretty cool.
I don't care because I don't have a Vita.
Neither do I.
I'm the only person who has one.
Did you buy it just for Miku or any other reasons?
I would buy a Vita if Monster Hunter came out on it. Like, I would be on that, like, a crack or on a crack dick.
Can I say 90% Miku?
What's the other 10%?
Persona 4.
Persona 4 already came out for, like, 8 different consoles.
A whole 2, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, we're counting that fighting game as, like, a never re-release.
Yeah.
You mean the fighting game that we'll never see?
In Europe, yes.
Hey, we get cool stuff in Europe. Remember when we got that game slightly before America?
Mario Kart Wii, 1 week before.
Oh yeah, that makes up for everything.
Yep.
I bet.
Also, Terranigma.
You're a Enigma.
Oh, damn! How you gonna act, yo?
What you gonna do about it?
I'll provide you with a Raspberry for that burn.
You're like the hype guy at rap battles now, Happy Man.
Me? Yeah.
Can you say something that'll get us hype?
Get it right or pay the price.
I'm hype.
Come on, it's time to get hype, say hoop, there it is. See,
what else happened in the news?
Dude, next news story fucking pisses me off.
Oh.
It's about Final Fantasy.
Mm. I'm pissed off already.
According to Square Enix, Lightning is Final Fantasy's first female lead. This may come as a surprise to fans of Final Fantasy VI, which ostensibly starred Terra, the amnesiac magic user who gradually discovers her roots as an Esper. But Lightning Returns Final Fantasy XIII director and series veteran Motomi Toriyama has an explanation. We feel that every person within the party in Final Fantasy VI is a main character, but we feel Lightning is very impactful as the main female protagonist in Final Fantasy series. Not only is she the first female protagonist, she is very powerful, cool, calm, and collected, so we believe that is another attractive feature of hers. Upon considering the development of Lightning Returns, throughout this Lightning saga, she has been depicted as this cool and powerful woman, but by the same measure, she's been so cool that she's also come off as aloof. We want to expand on her character some so we can have everyone fall in love with her even more. Does anyone like Lightning? Anyone like Lightning? Anyone who isn't a complete psychopath or something?
I don't like Lightning. I've recently started streaming Final Fantasy XIII because I'm a masochist.
Yeah.
And loads of people just come in and go, oh yeah, I'm only here for Lightning. So some people do like her some reason.
Like, well, some people like her armpits. Yeah, maybe.
There's a bunch of creepy posts about Lightning. But like, not only the director's obsessed with her, but like a lot of people like having this obsession with this extremely lame character who does nothing but just talk down to people and act like a bitch.
The worst bit is, everyone I talk to can't justify it.
No,
really.
You don't understand.
It's much worse in the series. much worse in the series.
And it's nice that they have a female lead and all, but they had to pick, like, the mannish looking one, didn't they? So, how many years has it been since they made a Final Fantasy game that wasn't about friggin' Lightning now?
13 came out in what, 2008? 2009?
Are we counting spin-offs?
No,
12
no spin-offs.
Count being an MMO? 11? It was fucking forever ago.
Yeah. Dude.
Final Fantasy may as well just be renamed Lightning Adventures with continually worse graphics.
It fucking bothers me too that he considers Lightning to be the first female protagonist. It says that every person in Final Fantasy VI's party is a main character. Who considers, like, Umuro or Gao or anything like that to be a main character?
Hey, you take that back.
At least he didn't say Final Fantasy X-2 and totally forget about 6.
X-2. Well, that game sucks. I actually like 6, so that's why I'm kind of mad.
Hopefully even Square Enix tried to forget about X-2.
X-2 has a fucking female protagonist. Wow, this is like turning into the story of my only female coworker. Nobody remembers her.
The story of your only female coworker? Is it just that no one remembers her and you can't tell us anymore?
No, that's pretty much it, actually. I'm sorry it's so lame, but it's just sort of like, you always hear like, man, really sucks that it's all just a bunch of dudes working here. Well, we do have one female coworker, and everyone always forgets that, even the people who work with her on a daily basis.
That's literally racist.
Racist?
Racist.
How is that racist?
That's racist.
Women are their own race, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did they evolve at the same time as men so that the penis fits in the lady parts? Hmm? Checkmate, atheists.
I don't even know what we're on about anymore.
What?
Are you still half asleep, Taco?
No, I'm just rambling as usual.
You sound comfy.
I'm enjoying my new house a little too much. It's really nice here. Oh my.
I'm assuming what he means by "for every person is a protagonist" is that it occasionally switches the perspective, like the group splits up in one point, things like that, the party changes around.
Mm-hmm.
But like the two most important protagonists in that game are both female. It's Terra for the first section and Celis for the second section.
You know what I think, Afferman? I think he's just talking marketing bullshit.
Bottom line, if you obsess about lightning like this guy and all of Final Fantasy XIII's fans do, you're a fucking idiot. Please stop. Thank you.
You're ruining Final Fantasy even more.
Final Fantasy was ruined long before lightning.
Yeah,
though.
It was.
I know.
It was ruined with friggin' Final Fantasy X.
I mean, you can't.
No, you're kidding me. It was ruined with 7. Long ago.
Let's argue.
Also,
about
I would argue
one.
I would argue that Cloud also was a female lead in his own way.
Yeah, he did cross dress. That's true.
They do practice.
He did cross dress. He had the body. He had this androgynous, awful body and this haircut and a long, huge sword.
Yeah, you know, they don't say if they're talking about gender or sex. You know, they totally don't take into account transgender people.
Other thing, though,
privileges, Squeenix.
That I just thought about when we talked about Final Fantasy VII. A lot of people say that, Lightning's just a female Cloud. That's not true. Cloud told Barrett that he looks like a bear wearing a marshmallow. That's not something Lightning would ever say.
When people say Cloud, they mean his Advent Children Cloud, you know, the one everyone talks about now when they say Cloud.
Honestly not. People always say that FF7's cast and Cloud started being ruined in Advent Children. Honestly, no. He was already sucky at the beginning and they just expanded him in Advent Children, if you can call that expanding. He sucked from the start.
Let me ask you one thing. Did you finish Final Fantasy VII? Because there's a thing called character development, which you might have missed.
Twice, and it sucks. It sucks. Cloud's an awful character. It's only about attitude. He doesn't have anything for personality.
No, I think Cloud sucks, but people like call him like an emo bitch all the time, but he didn't really whine about anything until Advent Children came along. He just didn't have any personality at all.
He did.
I don't know.
Around the end of the game, he explains that he left to become a soldier for Shinra because he wanted Tifa to notice him.
That's not the end of the game. That's way earlier.
That's what he says. When you weren't there, well, it's long to explain, but when they're having this strange flashback and Tifa's trying to gather Cloud's true memories, he tells her that.
But didn't she, like, already want his dick anyways?
Yes, and this is why I call him emo and a bitch, because she wanted his dick, obviously, but this guy was too much of a faggot, so instead of just, you know, acting like he should, left to become a soldier to try to impress her even more, and,
Welcome to anime.
That's lame.
Girl wants to jump guy. He is too beta. Welcome to all
anime.
Oh boy,
I hope Senpai notices me.
Oh god. To everyone listening, I would like you to comment and say how flaccid was your dick during this whole section that we talked about?
I don't
rock
really
hard.
Know.
If I start narrating a Barack Obama fanfiction, will it change?
Wait for me.
It'll fix the flaccid problem.
Depends on what it's crossed over with.
What would you like it to be crossed over with?
Barack Obama cross Harry Potter.
No, Barack Obama versus the Founding Fathers.
I can guarantee you that exists.
Obama X Barack?
Severus Snape, Professor, Lover.
Barack versus Brock from Pokemon.
I don't know why, but I would like to hear... Metal Gear Solid and Barack Obama. I reckon we'd fit into that story really well.
Oh god, I've already imagined.
Maybe it would.
Metal Gear Solid 2 when he grabs Raiden's junk. Perfect segue.
Well, he is going to be the president when MGS4 rolls around, so.
Oh god.
That's next year. MGS4 takes place next year. War's going to change. Get hype, yo.
Where are my robots?
Nanomachines.
Where are my cyborgs?
Well, don't they already have robots in Japan that can, like, pick sick people up and put them down somewhere else.
Oh man.
Forklifts?
No, like robots. Like it's got a little face drawn on it.
Excuse me, sir, but are you sick? Yes, here, let me pick you up.
Yeah.
It's like some horrible, like, Tetris thing. But with sick people.
It stacks them together to get extra points on the.
Put four in a line and they all disappear.
Exactly. That's how Japan's going to, control its horrible growth problem if it has one.
Actually. So,
oh, you go ahead.
I don't think Japan has a growth problem. They're actually, I think the birth rate is actually on the decline right now.
Oh. Yeah,
well, which is might, surely a good thing.
Not possible. It's going to turn into zero if it's still in decline.
I was going to say, they might not have a growth problem, but anybody affected by all the radiation will.
What radiation?
That was a tumor joke.
That was a bad joke.
I know.
You know that Tomb Raider game that nobody cares about?
Dirt
the
Raider.
New one?
Dirt Face Raider. How do you reboot a character? Put dirt on their face.
For,
they had a whole...
Isn't she like 16
it makes
in
them.
Game?
It makes them vulnerable.
So
that's
the creator...
not new.
You know she's vulnerable because she gets raped.
No, she doesn't. She just gets dirt on her face. There's a difference.
She gets nearly raped.
No, she doesn't.
The director...
They said they took that all back. Then they said she never nearly got raped. She just got dirt.
Is the dirt on her face thing supposed to be an upgrade from the dirt on her ass thing in Tomb Raider Legends or whatever that which one that was?
Sounds to me like Lara Croft's had it rough.
Lara had a hard life. I've actually never played a single Tomb Raider game. Anyway.
I think I had a couple.
I played the first one on the PSP. PS1.
Director for the new Tomb Raider game said on Twitter, "For all those Tomb Raider fans asking, there are no plans to release a demo of the game pre-launch. We don't want to spoil the story."
Yeah. Fuck yourself.
They know it's shit. They know it's shit. Mm. That's
it's been in development for like 80 years.
Yeah, so was Spore.
Yeah,
that didn't
well,
help.
Did fucking like, why have they taken so bloody long? How long does it take to make a ripoff of Uncharted with friggin' Lara Croft who moans and has dirt on her face?
Isn't Uncharted a ripoff of Tomb Raider?
Yes, they ripped off something that ripped them off. It's kind of cyclical.
It's like Street Fighter the movie, the game.
It is literally like that. That's how bad it's going to be as well. It's going to be like an endless series of cutscenes, and at one point Lara Croft goes underwater. And you think when she came out the water, the dirt on her face would have washed off, but no. No, it's still there.
They're just going backwards with technology.
Oh, yeah.
So why was Tomb Raider brought up? Oh, yeah, demo. Now
yeah, because the demo isn't being made because they don't want to spoil the story. Now, I want to ask you, how do you spoil the story in, like, the first 20 minutes?
You made
is there
the demo,
anything
like,
that
the
has ever done
of the
that?
Game?
Except Psycho, that's it. That had a spoiler in the first 20 minutes. I can think of nothing else that has that. Oh, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 2. You don't actually play Snake, you play Raiden. So are they going to pull
really
something
a
like
twist?
That? Are you going to do
something
like that?
You get completely, like, you play as Lara Croft for the first 10 minutes. She falls in some water, explores a tomb, does that thing where she parasails down a hill, has a fight with a guy, and then she gets killed and she's replaced by,
Brother.
I don't know.
Nathan
like,
Drake.
The guy from Gears of War.
Yeah, she gets replaced by Nathan Drake. It's actually the new Tomb Raider, the new Uncharted game. That's a reveal.
Oh, fucking hell. That would be amazing. And it's revealed like that studio developing. It never really existed. It was all just a front for Uncharted.
That would be legit pretty awesome.
I would gain immense respect for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. But then again, some people thought that the new Devil May Cry was just a big joke. And that it wasn't really going to come out.
They took that joke too far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the problem. The joke was taken too far.
Last news story of the day. It's about Dead Space 3.
Oh boy.
Oh boy!
Let me find what I was going to talk about.
As if space wasn't dead twice.
Dead space actually refers to, like, the little bits of air in your lungs that, when you breathe in and out, don't go in and out with the rest of the air.
So,
thanks for saying that. I was wondering whether this Dead Space was actually in space.
It's not, no.
It's dead ice.
It's set in lungs.
You think water's it's dead, set, it's the ice.
It's set on Lost Three. Planet.
Oh, that's also a reveal. The new Dead Space 3 is actually Lost Planet 3. Lost Planet 3 fun. Legit, I gotta say. It's pretty good.
Microtransactions anyway. In a horror game? That yep. is scary.
Not much has been spoken about that, but I can tell you the details now. The way the microtransactions work is that there's only 3 things you can buy, and they're basically tiers of different resources. Resources are extremely valuable in Dead Space. We get rid of credits entirely. Everything that you can find in the game can be constructed from resources, which includes tungsten, semiconductors, somatic gel. Combining these in different ways will create either a weapon part, an ammo pack, or an upgrade to Isaac's suit. There's a lot of players out there, especially the players coming from mobile games, who are accustomed to microtransactions. They're like, I need this now! I want this now! They need instant gratification. So we included that option to attract those players, so if they're 5,000 tungsten short of this upgrade, they can have it.
So wow. Literally, they want the iPad audience.
Yeah. How many
the
mobile game
is
players?
Is that these fucking mobile games are either free or cost a single dollar. They don't cost fucking full price. People don't buy a game for 60 moon monies and friggin' go, you know what, I want to spend 100 more moon monies on this. They just don't. You're telling me that they're going to charge people for microtransactions in a single-player game? Because that means that obviously, like every free-to-play game ever, the economy will be heavily, you know, tilted in favor of those microtransactions, and it'll be impossible to have any semblance of the fun that you might otherwise have garnered from Dead Space 3, God forbid, because now everything will drop like virtually no resources and you'll go the whole game with the starting weapon and no ammo. You know,
just for the record, you said it was single player. It actually has co-op because they took out all the horror elements now and you walk about with a buddy. Because it's so scary, you need a friend, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Dead Space 1 and 2 were too scary for some people.
Was that actually a thing?
EA wanted to charge people for individual bullets in Battlefield.
Oh, it's like in the first Legend of Zelda where you fire money out of your bow because there's no ammo. There's no ammo gauge. Except
it's
that
like
money
that
you can
only
get
fire
in-game.
Real money. Basically, Dead Space 3 is the video game equivalent of like pouring a bag of change down the drain.
So, like, there's another thing that kind of bugs me. Do you think they're going to attract a lot of mobile game players with this game? Like, are there a lot of people who only play on mobiles who are like, hey, I'm going to get this game?
No, they're literally going to buy a console in order to get this game just
yeah,
so they
gotta
can
do
pay
that too.
Slightly more for it than they would for another game.
And there was a Dead Space iPhone game. I don't know how well that's doing.
It was just a port of the first one, wasn't it?
No, it's just some little side game.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy how many like old games are being ported to iOS. Like,
yeah,
apparently
they got like Final Fantasy 3, I think it was like the 3DS one, on the Android App Store for $15.
Yeah.
I saw
a whole bunch of old games on there.
They ported the first Max Payne to iOS and was like, how? The game's so hard.
Well,
I'm going to play that. But apparently it's just made a lot easier, so.
Yeah, Rockstar do like to port their games to, like, the iOS. There's a couple of Grand Theft Autos on there. I don't know if San Andreas is yet, but I think 3 is and Vice City might be.
Playing Max Payne on a touchscreen sounds painful.
I really don't get, like, why people want to play video games on touchscreens unless you're playing, like, Angry Birds or Cut the Rope. It's a horrible, horrible experience. It just doesn't work in any way, shape, or... It just doesn't work. It literally just does not work. There is no way that you can get anywhere near the amount of precision that you actually need to be anywhere near decent enough for any game to finish it. That you can garner of playing it for a touchscreen. I mean, it helps that a lot of Android devices now have little plug-in controllers, but like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay like £50, buy a little controller for my Android phone that has its own charger and everything, and then plug it in, only to find that every single game has to specifically be written to be compatible with it, and most of them aren't. Like, that's the Android gaming experience. It's shit. It's a phone OS. It's made for phoning people. Stop fucking wasting resources on porting games to it, you twats.
I actually spent $2 buying a USB to micro USB converter, and I'm using my PlayStation 3 controller to play games on my phone. Yeah,
the game really has to be designed around using some sort of touchscreen interface to actually be worthwhile. Like at what, like using Angry Birds and Cut the Rope. Those are pretty good examples.
And those are the best we can do with touch screens. It's depressing.
One thing I can't imagine working on like an iPad is RTS. Like that would probably work. Like you can click on a lot of places on the screen very fast.
Wasn't Ruse designed for touch screen?
Yeah, it was. The thing is, though, the mobile gaming audience isn't the RTS audience usually. So
no.
See, what the problem is that there's all these great ideas, but nobody wants to do them because there's no money in it, right?
Welcome to gaming industry.
Tower defense games and, you know, shitty little casual games. That's all that phone gaming is. It's just casual gaming.
I've been playing the Rayman game that they made for the phones, and it's pretty fun.
It is,
Rayman
actually.
Jungle Run.
It's because they made it like Cannibalt, and Cannibalt is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of shitty and low effort, it's time for the Kickstarter watch.
Oh boy.
I just gotta take a leak first, hold on.
Way to tease me.
Yeah, I wanted to hear Kickstarter-y goodness.
I know, but
while
like
he's taking
fetish.
A piss, here's this amusing Gundam cosplay.
Is this the guy in the box?
Yes, these are several guys in boxes.
It's always a guy in a box with Gundam cosplay.
Complete with Nerf guns and cardboard tubes for swords.
Don't fucking, like, take the piss out of Nerf guns, man. And that guy doesn't even have a Nerf gun. He just has a tube. But you know what? He's
no, he has a shield.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a Nerf gun.
With a shield holder that you can only put his finger through.
I bet those tubes have Gundam posters in them.
What games do I have on my phone? I have World of Goo. I have Bit Trip. That Bit Trip works, actually, to tell the truth. I have Curiosity, which I have played just in order to write, you know, he lies. I have Delver, which is like a little roguelike, and it's a first-person game, and walking around and maneuvering is literally impossible. Although that said, I do remember distinctly one time I tried to play Halo 3 with an Xbox 360 controller, and it looked like a kid with no legs trying to play basketball.
I think all I use my phone for playing is, like, I emulate RPGs and turn-based strategy games like Fire Emblem on my phone.
Yeah, you can do turn-based games and strategy
anything
games.
I could take my time with, I'm cool with. Try to play Mega Man 2, fuck that, man.
Yeah, that was a really bad idea, porting that to iPhone. I don't even think anybody would want to emulate that on a phone.
Yeah, but remember the Mega Man X that had microtransactions that just made it
that
so
was even
win?
Worse.
Wait, what did it do?
There was a Mega Man X port to iPhone, and it had, basically, because Mega Man X is a platform game designed for the Super Nintendo, and it's bloody terrible on an iPhone, they made it all better by putting microtransactions in it to do things like buy upgrades to the amount of health you have.
Man, what happened to Capcom in, like, just a couple short years?
It's at the end of last generation, they were riding high on a series of fantastic original titles. And now they're like smearing the walls with their own shit.
Uh-huh.
Really? Capcom wasn't always the lower brother of one that's always a little inferior to Konami or Square, for example?
I mean, at the end of last generation, they were sitting with what? Like Beautiful Joe, Resident Evil 4, Okami.
God, I hated Okami.
But that's
if you don't like Okami, then you're wrong. Just saying.
But that was before Clover dissolved, and all those people from Clover and a bunch of other people from Capcom left to make Platinum Games.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's the people who have left, and lots of influential Capcom people have left now.
I think it's a lot of the wrong people making all the decisions now.
in recent Capcom blunder news, they've got a expansion pack sort of for Dragon's Dogma, but you can only get it retail with the entire game that comes with it. So it's basically like Super Dragon's Dogma. And you have to buy the whole game over again with the added content.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes them money anymore is Street Fighter. And they're obviously getting desperate because they've done the exact same thing they did with Street Fighter on the friggin' Sega Genesis.
So pretty much they made... I just bought Dragon's Dogma, and you're saying that they just released a new fucking version of it. So I have to fucking buy a new... I'm not fucking doing that. Fuck you, Capcom.
Yeah, I did the same.
This is why I fucking bought it used. Because fucking Capcom does shit like this all the time. I have to stop fucking talking about Capcom. They ruined Keiji Inafune. They've ruined my life. Fuck you, Capcom. Fucking assholes.
Capcom are the cave of video games.
They're like Japanese Activision.
Activision isn't even that bad anymore. We were saying this last time.
It's like, Bobby Kotick can learn a few things from them. Like, shit. Mm-hmm. You know? They've toned it down a bunch, even, I think.
Leave Kotick alone. Stop photoshopping him as the devil, seriously.
Hell yeah, he said it in an interview.
It's bad for his dating life.
Oh no, that may have been made up on that website that puts all the made up gaming news. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Damn it.
It's real to me.
Well, it's his fault that is like his picture that everybody uses, the one where he's sitting in front of like some red background that looks like he's sitting in front of a hellish inferno.
I'm pretty sure that, like, the devil picture is in one of the first few when you look for his name on Google now.
Let me check.
Right now. I'm going to do it.
Well, if you look up Bobby Kotick, one of the related searches in the images is Bobby Kotick Devil.
Bobby Kotick Evil and Bobby Kotick Devil.
There's Kickstarter. One where his eyes are kind of satanic-ish. Where he photoshopped his eyes.
Yeah, this is the one I'm talking about.
Kotaku.
Google image search, deal with it.
I think that image on its own is pretty bad for his dating life.
It is.
I think being Bobby Kotick is pretty good for his dating life, though, because he has loads of money. So why does he care if people think that he's the devil? He's Bobby motherfucking Kotick. He don't care.
So, Kickstarter watch. I said they were shooting low effort, but these ones are actually quite good, except for the last one.
Hmm.
First off, Neocolonialism ruin everything. This is
Sounds like a plan.
Yes, this is a strategy sim game where you are a corporate businessman, speaking of Bobby Kotick, and you have to fuck shit up a lot to make money for yourself. The map is upside down, which is kind of a weird design decision. It's supposed to be because you are the bad guys and not the good guys, and so the whole map of the world is upside down.
I thought it's because
basically Australians are evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Australian map is upside down.
The game is about ruining the entire world via unchecked capitalism. This is a game of tense negotiations, staggering sociopathy, and sarcasm. This is a game of world conquest without any armies or war. You never own any piece of land, but you will become a powerful influence throughout the globe.
I think this game was made by communists. Sounds like it.
Yeah,
it's obviously just, you know, trying to take away people's freedom. It's propaganda. It's communist propaganda is what it is.
The self-alter guy looks like a communist.
Saying that capitalism ever did any harm to anyone.
It was kind of like,
I sleep with 6 guns under my pillow, happy man. 6 guns. Do you have any idea how uncomfortable that is?
Who needs guns under your pillows when you have guns like Taco Man's got on his arms?
Oh, damn. Wait, that's not... Damn it. I was putting on my rap battle persona, but that was a compliment. So I can't do it. Never mind.
Oh my god.
I was gonna say, how are you going to act before I realized what you were talking about? This game is kind of... I see it as kind of Tropico, except instead of making fun of poor countries, it's making fun of rich countries. So, looks alright. I like sim games, like strategy games.
Like any game where you get a big picture of the world and you can click on different countries.
Those kinds of games. It's already been funded, but I thought I would bring some attention to it. Why not?
You'd mention it just to rub it into the faces of people who would possibly want to fund it.
Yeah. Next one hasn't been funded, though. It is nowhere near being funded, so please help it. Hold on.
Oh, by the way, right, speaking of nowhere near funded, in terms of Kickstarter games, Lore, unfortunately, did not meet its funding goal.
No! $500,000.
Yeah, it got $2,671. And then almost. Everyone gloated on the comments page and said that the guy was stupid. And then he said that he had a typing problem.
So, Rich Adventure is our next game on the Kickstarter Watch. It's a free roaming adventure game. The idea is that the world you are in is overrun with demons.
Well, from the video, it looks like the game was built on the PlayStation 1 dev kit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was that called?
I don't remember.
That was pretty funny, though. The idea is that you're supposed to like build up a tribe to kind of carve out the place in the world and accept. Eventually vanquish the demons.
Aw, man, you can have a chocolate skin waifu.
Yep, you can. You can also have a monster waifu, so that's cool.
Shit.
You can get cybernetic arms, all kinds of
is
shit.
Is that like cybernetic weapons, or is that like cybernetic things that go on my torso?
No, if your arm gets chopped off, you can get yourself a robot arm. Things like
I
that.
I want this
and you
game.
Have to. You have to keep your tribe alive, you have to hunt for food, things like that.
What if I can't afford a robot arm?
And have
then you'll have to have a wooden arm.
Yeah.
Will I eventually run out of arms?
Yes.
Oh no.
Like if your character dies, then their kid you will play as them. And if you don't have kids, the game is over, I guess. I don't know. So you gotta keep.
So it's still a permadeath
kids,
then.
Basically, yeah.
It's kind of like Tokyo Jungle, but with people.
Yeah, I like the idea. It's weirdly reminiscent of Lore, but not made by a retard.
It's not really reminiscent of Lore, though, is it? Cause there's
no,
like
just in the way it looks.
Not really, though.
No, it was a while after I looked at that. I forgot. Oh, shit. No, I'm remembering it now.
You forgot how Lore looked, didn't you?
Yeah, I forgot about amazing. That. What was it called? Remind me. That
Man
guy who was...
and Tar.
Man and Tar, that's right. Oh, damn. Yeah, this game is nowhere near Lore. Forget I said that.
It looks kind of cool, but I don't know. It looks like you run really slowly. I hate games where you run really slowly.
That is
yeah, the problem with these the problem with these style of games is keeping you interested. You know, after the first, I don't know, hour or so. Because you know, I played similar online games where you're meant to build up and you've got to collect resources and crap. But you know, keeping you interested is actually really difficult in those style of games. So, oh, it'd be cool, interesting to see.
Yeah.
I'd play it.
Well, you won't because it won't get funded.
Oh, right. No. It's got 25 days to go. They want 10,000 for it. It has 700 now. So, yeah, it probably won't get funded, sadly. I saw another game called Ninja something. I don't know. And it looked really good, too, but didn't get
funded. Hey, happy man. Yog Ventures got funded.
What's Yog Ventures?
Yog Ventures way outdid its funding goal.
What's Yog Ventures?
Yog Ventures is a game made about the Fantastic Fellows over at the Yog's Cast.
What's the Yog's Cast? Or those Minecraft
people?
Wasn't
that funded like last year?
Yeah. And it's literally just a kind of lame looking ripoff of Minecraft.
Fuck all internet people. I hate them.
It only really exists because Yog Ventures is so popular for making those Minecraft LPs. Showing off mods and stuff.
I'm instantly angry now.
That rattles your pots and pans that someone got super popular for making Minecraft Let's Plays and now has their own game, which is a ripoff of Minecraft.
So to be fair, they show off mods and stuff. That I thought that was pretty neat. They have like little mod showcases and special stuff for that.
Yeah, Pyroco, but I'm trying to make a point that humanity is doomed and you're not helping.
It didn't really get stale.
The 90s arcade racer. It's a racing game inspired by shit like Daytona.
And I've seen this one.
Yeah, it looks alright. It has really fun looking stages, like dinosaurs and shit. I have two complaints. First off, change the name because that's a stupid fucking name. The 90s arcade racer.
This looks glorious, Happy.
Yeah, it does look really good.
This actually genuine. I fucking love Daytona USA.
Dude, yeah, that's another thing that it lacks. It has no song. It doesn't have like a It needs game needs some vocals, is what I'm
saying. Mm-hmm. Irritating vocals.
Irritating vocals.
Takenobu Mitsuyoshi is one of my favorite Japanese people. If you haven't seen the video of him singing the Daytona theme, you definitely should, because he is so enthusiastic about singing. It's great.
My favorite Japanese guy is the guy from the Denko saga.
Who?
Did you ever read the saga of the guy who says he's in love with this girl called Denko?
No.
It's like a thing that the person who translated E posted it to their Tumblr, and it's like a 5-part saga of him falling in love with her, sending several thousand emails to her, repeatedly being told never to come near her again or the police will be called. Various things like that. And his just general sort of descent into insanity being egged on by the fine fellows at 2Channel. It's amazing. It's absolutely brilliant. I won't spoil the ending, but it will blow your mind as a real life story of love, affection, tragedy, and eventually whatever the word is for when, you know, something good happens to someone, the event that bad stuff was happening to.
Yeah, the 90s arcade racer really does look like a really nice tribute to all the cruising USA, Daytona,
Cigarette Rush.
I'm very tempted to pledge 10 quid for this.
Yeah, it looks good, but I really wish they would change the title.
See, what's wrong with the title?
No, I understand it's a tribute, but please give it an original name.
What would you call it?
At least. I don't know.
No one can stop the Yak Posse.
Yeah, let's go to video game name generator. Hold on.
Oh my god, I'm looking at the gameplay. It's like, oh, the cars drive very fast and have arcade-like handling through a series of colorful tracks.
High-speed ostrich invasion. There we go.
Speaking when did video driving. Game racing games become so dreary and boring? God, when did it happen?
Speaking of arcade racing through colorful environments, I've been playing Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed recently, and it's pretty damn awesome.
I am very tempted.
Colorful,
yeah.
And enjoyable and fun, isn't it?
I heard it had Jet Set Radio, so I'm kind of sold.
Yep. It's got 2 Jet Set Radio characters and a stage.
Ooh. Which ones?
It's a Jet... Or a Beat, I think. And Gum, yeah.
But okay. No fucking Ryo.
No Ryo, nope. Hasuki, no forklift.
I was some pretty cool, the moment. Pretty cool stages in there. Like, there's a Golden Axe one.
Mm-hmm.
I was sold at the moment when Vice was in it.
There's also a Burning Rangers stage.
Yeah.
How incredible would it be if Ryo Hasuki and the stage was DLC, and the stage was the forklift racing from Shenmue? Like, just that track that he raced.
Oh, no. Yes.
Also, Wreck-It Ralph is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Patrick.
He's on the poster, and he doesn't really look like he knows why he's there.
And as a PC, it also has 3 PC exclusive characters. It's got the football manager. It's got the Shogun General from Total War Shogun. And
what does he drive?
He drives some sort of feudal looking cart. It's just like covered in feudal thingamabobs with like the Shogun masks and stuff. And the third character is Team Fortress 2.
Oh, yeah.
What? The character is Team Fortress 2?
It's a switch between the characters, depending on what mode the vehicle is.
The cart is the pyro, the boat is the heavy, and the plane is the spy.
The plane is the spy.
Well, the spy is
driving. It's just a plane with a spy mask on it.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the spy who has a mask that looks like a plane, and everyone thinks he's a plane, but really he's just flying around. and so everyone else sees him as a plane, but when you play, it's just spy flapping his wings. Or arms, I guess.
See, all I can think about right now is all those days on Gmod right now, just turning people into vehicles.
Oh, yeah, that was the best thing you could do with Gmod. Fix an invisible chair to someone and some thrusters. You're good to go.
Attach some thrusters and some hover balls and make it fly around.
So, last Kickstarter. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, imagine if there was like a, I just thought of this, like a historical racing game. Because you talked about feudal cars. Like, you play as, like, I don't know, Julius Caesar and shit. Imagine the art style of Civilization, but with a racing game. That would be cool.
I'd play
like, you're riding around in chariots or whatever.
You could have, like, Genghis Khan, and he could go on, like, the Genghis cart, and if he collects, like, three green Lego bricks, then he gets his genocide superpower.
Yeah.
Is Sid Meier playable?
Sid Meier playable.
And there would have to be a playable Sid Meier, you're right. As, like, a bonus character. Like the Funky Kong or something. He's really good at time trials.
You can be Stalin in a tank.
Yeah, this is what the Shogun cart looks like.
Yeah, let me see it.
The wheels are made out of, like, water wheels.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That is amazing.
See, that is the card that Oda Nobunaga would ride in my hypothetical historical racing game.
That is fantastic.
That looks really funny.
The front of the cart is, like, one of those samurai masks.
Samurai mask, yeah.
This is what boat mode looks like. It's pretty entertaining.
Oh, man, it's a koi. It rules.
Shit.
From what I've heard, like, the Shogun guy, he actually has quotes from the game like Shameful Display and stuff like that, and Retreat.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that's caught a couple of people off guard and found it ridiculously hilarious.
Yeah, would you put Leonidas in your racing game? What would be his vehicle?
Four Spartans carrying him.
Yeah, for the same.
It had to be some sort of cart where the wheels are the Spartan shields, or at least the hubcaps are.
Yeah.
They'd have to
spear his enemies away or something.
Spears are like the axles or something.
No, it should just be four sweaty, muscly, semi-naked men.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Ultimate Muscle Roller Legend?
Yes, oh, yes. I have. I think everyone has.
It would be like that.
It should be exactly like
that. So last one.
I want to hear the bad Kickstarter.
Dude, this one sucks. It's not video games, but...
Who cares at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really bothered by this. Eat bacon postcards. Encourage everyone by mail to enjoy America's new favorite pastime, eating bacon. Eat bacon and be proud. I want to help the world share their love of bacon with these unique postcards. Bacon is an international phenomenon, full of deliciousness. Everyone should eat bacon. Remind your family and friends by sending them this unique postcard designed by the artist. First of all, the postcard really sucks. It's like
extremely popular in Israel and the Arab world.
It looks like it was drawn by a 5-year-old. Like, but second of all, a lot of people bitch about like militant vegetarians and how annoying they are. But you know what's more annoying? People won't shut the fuck up about bacon.
Yeah.
That bothers me so much when people do that.
Well, fuck, he's only people... asking for $100, and he got the goal.
It's funded already.
$100 to make some postcards. Amazing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I like how the guy has a mullet on the postcard there.
Yeah.
And a big nose and all that.
It looks like something someone's 3-year-old drew in MS Paint.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Who actually wants these? They look terrible, and they have a terrible message.
But happy man, does anyone else love a narwhal bacons at midnight? Check out what I found in my attic. Does anyone else remember this gem, my girlfriend?
You get your Reddit shit right out of here.
This. I'm looking at you, sir.
While we're on the topic, fuck Epic Mealtime. I feel that they are to be held partially responsible.
Yeah. They do put bacon on everything.
I'm looking at the guy's Kickstarter history, and he's actually done several Kickstarters, and they're all like...
Are they all bacon-related? Please say they are. Please.
No.
Oh.
There's like one of these where he's like, one of his roofs was broken, and like he had a Kickstarter to try fix it.
Oh, so he's one of those people who just
the
like,
car wash practice facility is a place
everything.
Where several bands practice. Fortunately, an old tired roof needs to be fixed. So he did a Kickstarter. And it got funded.
For like,
but I bet it was only like $12.
It was $100.
It's equally bad looking t-shirt. It's called Booger Bandit, and it features a guy who has a booger running into his mouth from his nose. And it's a t-shirt.
He's got a Kickstarter where he asked $45 to fund stickers that just say Wars is greater than Star Trek. Or Wars greater than Trek.
Yeah, but... Thunder is typing from my boy.
Sorry.
The thing about this is, like, one of them reached exactly $200, which was its limit. Oh, no, wait, which was double its limit. I still think that, like, most of these are probably, like the Eat Bacon one, $159. How many of those dollars do you think he did? Let's be honest here. 100, 120, 159.
I don't know. There's a lot of assholes on the net.
You're literally calling people assholes just for buying terrible Kickstarter project things.
There's a lot of dumb people on the net. Then I don't know.
I tried to fund lore. Okay, so I'm the biggest asshole out of all of you.
The guy's just got like a whole bunch of little tacky stuff going on.
Yeah, it's all just very tacky and very uninspired and very low effort. And it's just the sort of thing that you always see on Kickstarter. Like, oh, here's a shirt that says YOLO on it. I'm John Video Games. I want $300,000 to make video games. Back in the old days, I invented Marble Madness. You know, that kind of thing.
I like the YOLO shirts because... He says that his son inspired him to do that. It was like he thought his son saying YOLO was legitimately profound, and he decided to make sure of it.
That's just like sad. It's just sad. That's all I can really describe it with.
The coolest thing about this is, right, even if you only pledge a dollar, he still signs it.
That's neat, I suppose.
I thought these would be, like, postcards that you could send to other people, but apparently they're not. They're just postcards that you, like, you get sent. I'd just like to interject for a moment, right?
All right.
So, Sony?
What about Sony?
Did you not see the Sony story?
What Sony story?
I'll just bring it up. Sony basically announced an announcement, but they didn't announce what the announcement was going to be of because
the February 20th special big announcement thing.
Big announcement on February the 20th.
Everybody says it's going to be some new hardware, so it can't.
You haven't seen some pictures going around. I think it was for like the PS4 or some kind of new Blu-ray player or something.
You see, many people think it's going to be the PlayStation 4.
That over Vita 2.
Yes. If it's a new revision of the Vita, then I'll probably throw myself off a bridge. I'll just be like, Sony, you haven't learned anything.
But they don't learn anything, I think. This is the great lesson of what, the last 5 years? We almost never learn.
They fucking, yeah. Like, if they make a new revision of the Vita, then it'll have more hardware revisions than games.
Most likely.
Gentlemen, we need to make the Vita smaller!
Yeah, I've seen this
video.
Add
two more touchscreens to it.
That's what we're all missing, aren't we?
If it's the PlayStation 4, right, what are your predictions for what the PlayStation 4 will be?
Can I just inject this right now? But there's like, have you ever heard of Michael Patcher? He's one of these economists who predicts
industry analysts, and everything he says is wrong categorically.
Anyway, he says Sony is 100% certain to announce the PlayStation 4 at the Feb 20 event. He also says Sony's new console will feature graphic chips developed by Advanced Micro Devices, capable of rendering games at 240 frames per second.
Whoa!
No, they won't. They'll be the same bullshit graphics adapters that contemporary PCs have. They'll render all their games at 30 frames per second. It'll say it's 1080p, but it'll scale it up from 720 for virtually every game.
Michael Pachter, that name sounds familiar.
He's the guy is he the guy who said that real-time strategy games were turn-based?
Oh yeah, it's that guy.
Oh yes, he has his own segment. He has his own thing on game trailers, doesn't he? Yeah, he did.
He said a bunch of others, but that's the sort of level of intellect that we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
100% certain. Like, where did he get that figure from? Does he have some sort of mathematical formula that he punches the numbers into, or does he just pick a random number between 100 and 100?
I think that level of talent requires a real mathematical formula.
Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I'm not a PC gamer. I play console games, but it's not that different.
Right.
Nope.
You know the episode of South Park where they have the manatees that write Family Guy? Mm-hmm. He's like that, right? He's the manatee. He literally just says random things like, Sony, ding, 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 will announce, ding, 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 a new Gears of War.
I think my favorite thing that Michael Pachter said in that one video was when he was talking about the people commenting on his Uncharted 2 review. And he said something along the lines of, hey, well, I don't care if you guys don't like me because I said Uncharted 2 wasn't that original, but that 9.3 that I got is the best it's going to get.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, oh, it only got a 9.3. Game is ruined. Game is terrible.
9 out of 10, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's 9 literally out of 10, what Game it's okay,
Mountain
about,
Dew Doritos.
That's pretty much literally what Game Informer said about Devil May Cry. Like, they had a little segment talking about how it was their game of the month, and like 90% of that little paragraph was just talking about the bad stuff about the game.
Well, it's because they get paid for the score, I guess, not for the actual content of the review, I'm guessing.
Do they?
Of course.
That's what I'm assuming. Same thing with Mass Effect 3 and Dragon Age 2.
No one actually reads words.
Yeah, they only look at the big score on the top, but the same thing was with Mass Effect 3. I saw a lot of reviews that were like, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff, and like half the review was about the negative aspects of it, but then they still gave it an 8, so...
Wait, Mass Effect got 8s?
3, yeah.
It's lower than I thought.
Well, since we were talking about Sony, I'll have something to add when we're done with that.
PlayStation 3 will have a little capsule that you can put your penis in, but there's like a 5% chance that it'll pull it off.
Christian would have needed that.
Is this that patented dick drive I've been hearing about?
Yes.
Brilliant.
It's this natural successor to Blu-ray.
It's the dick drive, but it only supports 3-inch floppies.
Oh, damn, how are you gonna act, Sony?
I definitely think the PlayStation 3 won't feature anything from IBM this time, or PlayStation 4, rather. I don't think IBM is ever going to want to work with Sony again, to be perfectly honest.
Uh-huh. Sony doesn't go fucking flat on its back.
It'll have a touchscreen controller. It'll have a motion controller. It'll have a controller that can read your thoughts. It will have a special seat that you sit on and you wiggle your ass back and forth, and that controls the character in the game. It will respond to your heart rate.
And there's a dance pad.
There's a dance pad that comes with every console, and every game requires you to use it.
There's also a track pad for running the track races.
That's what it's called, a track pad.
Sorry, I'm dying.
Yeah.
You okay, the cats?
You just killed cats, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
No more GLA.
Does this mean I can host the show now? Happy Man's hosting it, you pillock.
Yeah, you pillock.
You wazzock. You numpty. You nunt.
You twiddle.
You bald-headed twonk.
I'm not bald.
Whatever. I always say that because I heard Carl Pilkington get called.
You melon.
You nong.
You wazzock.
You drippy rod.
You prat. You drippy rod.
Sorry, never mind.
Sounds
never
a
mind.
Disgusting.
What?
That actually sounds a little disgusting.
Never mind, we're ending this podcast.
I don't want to know about no drippy rod.
Okay, no.
But we didn't get to do the what have you been playing
segment. Yeah, I know. It was mostly out of shame, but yes, we do have another podcast. Another segment left.
I want to talk about Mobiloid, because I was playing it today, of all days.
Oh,
And Mobiloid is actually genuinely brilliant.
What is Mobiloid?
Give me the skinny.
No one here saw me play it then. Okay.
I was there.
I saw you play it, but I just said one thought in my mind. What is this little Portal puzzle ripoff?
It's absolutely nothing like Portal.
Is he on about the antechamber?
No, antechamber's nothing to do with... I'm boycotting antechamber because it took like 3 years to make, and yet it's still just a shit first-person puzzle game. Anyway, Mobiloid, right? Basic idea is there's all these Greenpeace hippies, and there's this company called Mobiloid Corporation, and they don't have human employees anymore. They just have robots, but like all the robots now have like robot rights groups that represent them, and they think that Mobiloid Corporation is mistreating its robot workers, right? So they send in this little robot of justice to sabotage Mobiloid Corporation. And the idea is you just get dropped in this massive factory, and you're a tiny little robot. You're like a battery and a single like thruster that makes you go forward. And as you explore, it's like a non-linear exploration, like Metroidvania type thing. But instead of getting like some arbitrary type of bomb that lets you destroy certain walls like in every other Metroidvania, you get like different sorts of wheels and different sorts of mechanisms, like things that let you attach to grind rails and things that let you like pull on to like points and swing around with like a rope type, not a rope type thing, but like that let you swing around on stuff, and like a spring that lets you jump up, and different things that like rotate and extend and swivel. And basically you build your own robot in order to navigate around the game environment, defeat enemies, and solve puzzles. And at any point in the game, you can stop and like press enter, and you go into this interface, and you can like, oh, I'll just add 6 wheels here, and a laser gun here, and a little swivelly thing here, and then push play, and boom! You're driving around your little robot that you designed. And the more parts you get, the more different sorts of robots you can make, and the more places you can get. And it's just a really, really fun-ass game with an original concept behind it that works really well.
I'm gonna check this
But it does recall me of Portal.
It literally has nothing to do with Portal.
Really looks like it.
What platform is it on?
It's on PC.
Ah.
Guess what else was on PC? Portal.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the gaming mechanism, it's not so much about the mechanism, because it looks like something original, but I don't know, the look, the feel, the puzzle side of things, Portal. I just fought Portal as soon as I saw the game.
Remember that puzzle in Mobiloid where you're a little robot and you had to get like a screw head, and then you had to put it on top of like a little rotating thing on your robot and to screw in something to the ceiling? Yeah, I remember that.
It's like Quoob all over again.
Dude, don't talk to me about Quoob. Quoob was like Portal, but shit.
So, we're doing games, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was hoping that I wasn't the only person who had played video games since last podcast.
No, I have too. I have been playing the fuck out of Ni No Kuni.
Ah.
Tell me all about it.
It's pretty much everything you would expect it to be.
I mean, the battle system isn't very good, but the story and thematic elements make up for it.
Pretty much.
Alright, I know it's been... How involved was Studio Ghibli in this? Because I know they had some kind of involvement. I don't know whether it was just design or animation or what, so... How's the game look?
I think they did everything regarding art and animation for the game.
And the story, I'm pretty sure. As well as Joe Hisaishi, who's worked with them in the past, did the music for it.
But Miyazaki had nothing to do with it because he hates video games.
Yeah, sure.
See, it's weird. I don't know if you guys knew this, but originally it was released on the Nintendo DS. And, you know, if they're going to put such emphasis in sort of how it looks, I wonder why they chose the DS of all things.
Originally it was a DS game?
Yeah, you know, ages ago, like... Well, not quite ages ago, but it was sort of around 2010, I think.
I didn't realize this was like a redo of a DS game. Not at all.
Well, it was planned for both.
Oh, right.
But the DS game came out first. Like, I don't really know what's up with that, because we don't get the DS game.
Nope,
I never even heard about it.
You got, like, a really interesting book which actually played some kind of mechanic in the game or something. I don't know.
It made a case huge, because you had to fit the book in it.
And then they brought that over with the PS3 version anyway.
Well, that's, like, portable, right? That's why I buy portable games, so that I can carry a massive book around with them.
It's like an MGS when the guy says, hey, you have to look at the back of the CD case, except the... You have to do it in the book for the whole game, pretty much.
Unless you rent the fucking game, they don't give you the CD case and you have to go on the internet because they're like, what are you talking about? That's what happened to me.
Yeah, and it was more confusing because it's Twin Snakes. He says, look at the back of the package. And you're like, oh. So you look all over the game for some package because it's not clear that he's talking about the game box.
Yeah.
Wait, they sell MGS1 on PSN, don't they?
They do. It's a great game.
What do you do for that?
Go to the internet. Whoa.
Fucked up.
Yeah, go to the internet, pretty much.
Check the internet for the code. Like, Colonel, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they bring in the voice actor to redo the line. It would be great. Politing. I'm thinking maybe they would just put Meryl's number in your list after that cutscene.
But I don't Snake, know if this version doesn't come with a box, so you can't look on the back of it like in the old PS1 version. You have to look it up on the internet.
Lucky we're on Blu-ray now.
No, that's
we're
modern
lucky
and meta.
We're on Blu-ray now, Snake. What the hell are you talking about?
I know.
My sciatica's acting up again.
Off by Mortis Ghost has a section where we have to look in the README file to figure out a puzzle.
I have Off downloaded and I really want to play it because it looks like one of these weird space funeral type games. Is it?
It is. Good? My only complaint is battles are kind of long. I know it's a JRPG style game, but. Way too long. Still, really good game. Really smart puzzles. Okay. Speaking of readmes, I got the Europa Universalis Rome today, and I opened up the readme, and all the readme said was, this document contains information that is important to understanding how to play the game. And that was it. There was no information or anything.
So I guess there's no information that you need to know about to play the game very well.
Oh, there is. Believe me. I'm not even halfway to figuring it out.
Well, then you dumb goof.
Luckily, it comes with a huge manual, so that's good. The biggest manuals are like flight sims. You ever seen those things? It's like a book.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of need it for that.
Yeah.
It basically is a flight manual for like an actual plane.
Yeah, I know. There's so much reading involved in flight sims. But it's seriously like 500 pages. It's incredible. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Video games.
I don't read a manual if it's like 2 pages long. If I got a flight, I'd be terrible with flight sims.
What if it had really nice illustrations in them, like the manuals of the old days?
Yeah, but it'd just be pictures of planes. And you can only look at planes for so long. You've seen a couple planes, let's be honest. You've seen them all.
What if you're in the long car journey back from Toys R Us and you're sitting there trying to get light?
You know what really had a good game manual? Warcraft series. Those had good game manuals because of all the art in them.
Nintendo Blizzard usually has nice color manuals.
Even the first World of Warcraft had a really cool manual too. It was like a thick book with and like every other page had art in it.
Metal Gear Solid 4 is an incredible manual. It's like a comic that explains how the game works in a comic.
Yeah there you go.
Hmm.
No More Heroes kind of does the same thing.
I once spent half a car journey trying to read the Pokemon manual before remembering that my Game Boy was portable.
Nice. Nice one there. Oh, I remember, actually. Here's a cool story. When Pokemon Silver and Gold came out, I picked up the game, and it was a 2-hour car ride home because we were in a different town, and I had bought one of those little like snake-like things for the Game Boys. The worm light, that's what it was called. But I read the manual by turning on my Game Boy and using that light, and then I played the game.
Nice.
That's how you do it.
I was like, fuck playing the game. I'm just going to read the manual for a while first. Shit. That was a fun car ride home.
So, Sleeping Dogs was on sale. Did anybody get that? but me.
Nope.
Isn't it just Chinese Grand Theft Auto?
Kinda.
It kind of is. There's. It's kind of a tribute to Hong Kong movies in a lot of ways. So
kind of like Yakuza meets Grand Theft Auto.
It looks interesting, but
it was originally supposed to be a true crime game. Yeah, they had to change the name.
I didn't want to spend $15 on it.
And the hand-to-hand combat is reminiscent of games like Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, is that it's a tribute to like Hong Kong Kung Fu movies, so most of the fighting you do is unarmed. There's very little firefights, and the fighting's pretty fun. You use the environment a lot, like Jackie Chan.
Yeah, I saw that kind of stuff. You can use environments like, you know, smash people through things.
Yeah, and that's actually what you want to do, because...
fucking impaled. Impaled on something, I think.
I haven't gotten to do that yet. Mostly like, what was that?
It was like just tossed up on like a meat hook. I'm not sure if it just went through the guy's shirt.
Yeah, that's part.
I don't know if it went through the guy's shirt or like just like, because do you like fucking kill people or do you just knock them out?
No, like in an armed combat, you mostly just knock them out, like throw them into dumpsters or whatever.
Yeah. So that's like what most Hong Kong movies do. You just like beat the shit out of people, and they're all on the ground, like, "Oh, I'm broken." And
it does depend on what type of environment you've interacted with, because like I've seen people I've seen takedowns where like the guy opens up a trunk of a car and slams him in there. But then I've also seen takedowns where he takes a guy, he puts a guy's face on a table saw.
Oh,
yeah.
So you get old Punisher on their ass, then, huh?
Mm-hmm. It all depends on what you're interacting with, I suppose. All
right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
A problem I used to I generally have with open world like sandbox games like Grand Theft Auto is that I mostly just do the missions. I get very little enjoyment out of fucking around with the cops or fucking around with the physics or exploring or anything like that. So it's generally not a very fun genre for me. But Sleeping Dogs is mostly mission oriented, so pretty fun. I think a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, I'm the same. Not really that interested unless there's something to do.
Everyone's like that. You start playing GTA and just, you know, fuck around with the cars, run over old ladies, shoot random people. Run for five and then, you know, just firing on everyone.
Grand Theft Auto, you can go and have mindless fun for a little while, you know, kind of stuff like that. But it's only sort of a short.
If it's any consolation in Sleeping Dogs, you can buy Agent 47 Hitman costume and a Adam Jensen costume.
And Ryo Hasuki, which is a lot of the which is a big selling point for me.
That's why you it like it, has, isn't it? It's because you can be Ryo.
Yep.
It also has the guy from Just Cause 2.
Yep.
As well,
but who
as
cares about him, let's be honest.
Rico.
I think it has a couple of Bruce Lee costumes in there.
That'd be cool. Can you get like the yellow jumpsuit?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'll be honest, when I saw the Square Enix character pack for Sleeping Dogs, I was expecting, like, Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Did you really? Because, you know, Square Enix have got, the Eidos, don't they? Mm-hmm. You know, they've actually got a couple of Western studios under their thumb, and they're pretty decent with them, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently they don't even get involved with half of them. They just go, all right, you know Western games, we don't. You do your thing. We'll just stay over here.
Yeah.
They just publish and fund it.
The opposite of Capcom.
What a publisher should be doing.
I also got No More Heroes 2, which is a pretty good game. It expands on the... It makes the gameplay better than the first one, pretty much every way. It was like...
Mm-hmm.
People bitched at Suda51, and he was like, okay, I'll make a good game, fine. And he did.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah, I know. Excuse me, what?
I don't know. Like, when I played the first one, it felt like it was just sort of slapped together. It was a good game, but it's just like the in-between missions just kind of felt like a time sink.
Yeah, the big change in No More Heroes 2, beyond the fighting, is that you don't have to pay to fight the next guy. And you don't have to ride your bike around. It's just a map screen, and you go to different places, which is good. Yeah,
the bike wasn't a problem. It was the, you know, having to spend like half an hour doing these asinine like lawn mowing missions and shit. Like,
dude, it's all the
why
lawn
didn't you just get like a part time? Why didn't you just get a part time job assassinating? Like, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's also what you can do.
Well, yeah, right. Never mind.
That as well.
I forgot about that actually. It's been a while since I played.
Actually, I really like the newer side jobs for No More Heroes 2, because they're all...
The newer side jobs for No More Heroes 2 are all, like, they're parodies of, like, old bad NES games. Like, they're all...
Except...
Yes, but there's one that was just ported, which is the Scorpion mission, which is the worst one. They just decided to bring that back just the way it was. It makes you no money and it's terrible. The most profitable one is the steak mission. Holy shit, you're gonna make so much money off of that.
Oh, I love
also,
that steak
it's
game.
The best because the people come in and they just yell like weird NES vocalizations is that as you like me you wear well done delicious. It's like
really?
It's like the olden days.
Yeah. Nice.
Bad dudes in Umbered. Really pixelated. What else? There's a few things that I miss, like oh yeah, you can exercise your cat. There's one mini game where after the first game, your cat got really fat, and you have to exercise your cat. It's extremely funny to me.
But it was such a small kitten.
And when it loses enough weight, you get a special weapon.
Yes, watching her slick moves inspires a new sword technique.
Wow.
Actually, speaking of Pseudo, have you guys seen all the stuff about Killer is Dead?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That looks very nice.
Looks fucking sweet.
Is it a sequel to Killer 7?
It looks like it's heavily inspired from it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Hope it at least has good gameplay this time.
It looks like it has a combination of, like, the No More Heroes swordplay with some shooting elements from Shadow of the Damned.
Damn it!
I think the biggest surprise from that game is the fact that Xseed is going to be publishing the American version.
Hmm.
Yeah, they don't normally play publisher for big console games and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe they're actually sort of getting up there and localizing Japanese games and stuff.
Just one more thing I wanted to say about No More Heroes 2. There's a few things that I miss. Like that guy you would talk to for the side jobs that keep going on about the god of coconuts or the god of cats or whatever. And you had appeased them and you're a federated man. He's gone. And also... When you enter a mission, it says the boss's name in a really whispery voice, like Holly Summers or something like that. Whatever, that's also gone.
Oh, I kind of like that.
And the 8-bit song when you beat the mission isn't as good. But those are all like trivialities. It's a better game overall.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would like for No More Heroes 3 is first-person view in Travis's apartment, because there's so much shit you can get for your apartment in that game that you can barely see because the camera angle's fixed. Like, he actually has a framed picture of Thunder Ryu in his room now.
Huh.
I think that's kind of sweet.
You can also sit down and watch Travis's favorite animes.
Yep, I have seen that. There are so many inappropriate sexualizations of little girls. It's like nobody's business.
And then you can also play the video game version of it, which is like its own Touhou game.
Yeah, it's Touhou, basically, but with a reskin.
Touhou.
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 It's Touhou.
Touhou, okay. I always say Touhou.
No, it is Touhou, but Touhou is a joke.
Okay, I see.
Touhou.
Aha.
I'm terrible at shoot 'em ups, or else I'd probably be big into that series.
I bought quite a few games that I haven't played. It's because I'm going to be unemployed soon, and so I won't be buying games. So I've been kind of stocking up. I got Ghostbusters, Azura's Wrath, a bunch of other games. I don't know if those are any good. I hope they are. Really been looking forward to playing Ghostbusters, because I love Ghostbusters.
Mm. If you want to play Azura's Wrath, I hope you're ready to pay for the ending.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yep. The DLC has the true final boss.
I'm so sad now. That game looked good too.
Yeah, it's good. I've played the first couple chapters, but yeah, you have to pay for the last couple.
God damn.
The actual ending to the game.
Oh, I also got Katamari Forever. I've been playing that. I fucking love Katamari so much.
Cool.
Katamari.
One of my favorite things about Katamari that few people notice is the collection. Like all the items you pick up, they end up in a collection, and the King of All Cosmos has something to say about every single item that you pick up in the game.
Oh yeah,
interesting.
I absolutely love that. He has like, so it's happened that I've just gone into the object gallery and just looked at what the King of All Cosmos has to say about all the items, because there's hundreds of them. And he has a line for each one, so that's a lot of effort put into something that so few people notice. I really appreciate it. That's pretty much all I have to say.
I recently streamed Mad Father, which is like a an RPG Maker type, like a Witch's House.
Is it just as good as Witch's House and like Eeb and stuff like that? Because I looked at a video of it and it looked kind of hammy.
It isn't as jump scary as Witch's House. I enjoyed it, but that was the first game of that type of genre that I actually finished. And it's actually got me really interested in the top down
RPG Maker horror games.
Yeah, it's
I
actually
don't know why, but they're the only good horror games made these days.
I'm gonna try and get into the Corpse Party series now.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, I've heard good things about that.
Yeah,
I've been playing the new one. It's great.
It is good, because I was thinking that'd be a good series to start streaming.
There should be more games like Eeb. That's such an incredible game.
Yeah. You should just, like, find VG Person's website and just download everything they've translated. Everything.
Oh, shit. What was that? Towel Cat. There's a translation project on a Japanese RPG Maker series that's supposedly pretty good. It's called Towel Cat. And it's kind of like Eeb, apparently. So I'll look into that. Nothing's done translated yet, but soon. Hopefully.
I streamed that, and then recently I re-downloaded a game that I used to love playing. It was the first game that I actually tried speedrunning, which was Freedom Fighters.
Homeland Zero?
Yes, I was so disappointed when, after I saw the first like Homeland teaser, and then I saw the first gameplay trailer, and it was the first-person shooter, I was so disappointed.
I like a rundown. Does anybody here know how to speedrun any games?
No.
I can't speedrun.
It's like really hard, and you have to be very skilled to do it and dedicate large portions of your time to doing it.
I think Ishtar's still doing his Super Mario 64 speedrun.
Oh, yeah. That was going to go on for 2 hours, I think, so.
I don't think he'll ever beat Siglamic.
No, that guy's crazy. I've seen him.
Is that the tool-assisted guy who did it in, like 10 minutes by jumping through all the walls backwards? Or is that
I don't think he does tool-assisted
He doesn't
stuff.
Do tool-assisted. He does it live.
No, yeah.
He does it live.
Siglamic does it...
yeah, I'm pretty sure he does it for...
like 44, 45 minutes.
Oh, I see. I've been trying to speedrun Super Mario Brothers 2. I've got the first three worlds down. World 4 is fucking hard. Man, I hate Ice Worlds. But
I like Ice Worlds.
Right.
They always have the best music, prove me
they
wrong.
Do. Well, not Mario Brothers 2, because it's the same as the World 1 music.
Fendrana Drifts.
Yep.
There you go.
What else is good ice music? Whenever somebody says Ice Worlds is good music, that's always what gets brought up, but...
Actually,
Mother Games.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually this one guy from V that made, like, a compilation album of, like, all these great snow levels from video games.
Oh, yeah. Sonic. I remember that.
And it's just, like, there's, like, too many to list, but there's, like, Banjo-Kazooie, D-Kong, Eternal Sonata, Kirby Air Ride, Epic Yarn, and that's, there's like three whole discs worth of music.
Shatter,
yes.
From Shatter.
Yes. Shatter is the best music.
MGS4, I saw. Fantastic music, because it's the best is yet to come. Well, if you want to get technical, that's an ice level, but...
Yeah. The game is an ice level, pretty much.
No, not MGS4, but MGS1 is a whole big ice level. Yeah. But I'm talking like MGS4... Chapter 4, when you get back to Shadow Moses Island and Best is Yet to Come starts playing, that's easily the best part of the game. Like, probably, no discussion.
Yep.
Pretty teary-eyed moment.
Have you guys talked about the Nintendo Direct stuff from about a week ago?
No.
The HD Zeldas and all that.
Oh, God, HD Zelda. If I'd been hosting this podcast, I totally would have put that on the agenda just so that I could bitch about it.
I do the same thing.
Well, we could bitch about it now.
We could. Okay, here goes, right? What the fuck? Why did they remake Wind Waker? It was fucking years ahead of its time, and it looks timeless, and the original still looks brilliant now. Why are they fucking ruining it by slapping on loads and loads of bloom onto it like a bunch of pillocks would? It doesn't look any better than it did. Why pay all your attention to a timeless game like Wind Waker when you could be remaking Majora's Mask, which looks like art, or better yet, just making a new bleeding Zelda game? No one asked for remakes of everything, and the people who did are objectively wrong.
To be fair, they have separate teams working on the remake.
I don't care. Yeah, that separate team, right, could be doing something worthwhile right now, but they're not. They're remaking something. They're remaking something that didn't need a remake, and they're remaking it so that it's going to look inferior to the original because it's going to have washed out colors that shit all over Wind Waker's beautiful art style.
It's the same reason why they didn't HD remake MGS1 because it's two polygons. Have to redo the models.
I think Wind Waker could use a remake to fix up like the whole end of the game.
Yeah, but they're not going to change the end of the game.
It's just the graphics are
fucking better.
I don't know.
Apparently, they're actually going to change some of the things that are not just the graphics. But you know, I don't know how much of that's rumor and how much is that from actual word of the mouth.
I mean, the best it could be is like Super Mario 64 DS, where they add in a couple of half-assed new levels and a bunch of mini games.
A couple. There's 150 stars. It's compared to 120.
Yeah, but there's only like three or so new levels.
That's true. They only added like more stars to the current levels. So never mind. It's been a while since I played that, so.
It wasn't really a bad port, though, to be honest.
The things that bother me is that there's no reason to be anyone else than Yoshi, because he can just pick up the hats and beat anyone else.
I just wonder why Nintendo hasn't started with the putting GameCube games on Virtual Console for the Wii U.
It's probably because the Wii U by default only... I know everyone who has, like, technology will buy an external hard drive and plug it in, but I can see a lot of people just staying with the 16 gigabytes of internal storage, five of which is made up of system updates right now, so...
Mm-hmm. That still boggles my mind.
What?
That, you know, fucking, like, just that much space is partitioned for shit that shouldn't have to be done, for, you know, something that shouldn't have to be done.
Yeah, like, Windows 7 is, like, 16 gigabytes, dude.
Damn.
But you can at least, you know, get a good hard drive for that. Like, for this, it's sort of like, here's a 16 gigabyte hard drive, and, like, a third of it is dedicated to something...
Well, the most they're going to be selling on the VC is, like, N64 games, and they bottom out at, like, what, 32, 64 megs? Unless they're selling downloadable Wii games as well, or Wii U games, which, thinking about it, they might be.
They're selling,
I've said a moot point.
They're selling full retail Wii U games off of the store.
Okay, everything I've just said is a moot point.
But the smallest hard drive that the Wii U comes with is 8 gigabytes, and the $5 the 5 gigabyte operating system is like, it has its own space in it. It doesn't take up that 8 gigabytes.
Are you entirely sure about that?
Yes, I am entirely sure.
Are you entirely sure?
Entirely.
100%.
100%.
Okay, then.
$100.
So, the whole massive operating system space doesn't really... It's a moot point.
Still,
yeah.
Still, it's a mild inconvenience, and I hate mild inconveniences.
I hate mild inconveniences, too.
Oh man, it's gonna take like an hour to update. Good thing I have my smartphone and my 3DS and my goddamn PC.
Yeah.
Whatever shall I do?
Goddamn. Oh.
If you buy remakes, you're the cancer killing video games.
If I what?
If you buy remakes.
But.
But are there no objectives, decent remakes that were worth making at all?
No.
Oh, really?
There's the Devil May Cry HD collection.
Okay, how about Zero Mission? We're watching it right now.
What about reimagining?
Yeah, Zero is Zero Mission really a remake?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think it's closer to a reimagining.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay, reimagining, remake.
It adds new content. It revamps some of the control styles. You know, it's not a remake. Yeah.
Okay, like it's a remake with a little plus, but it's still a remake of the core.
There's a difference. That's like saying like Silent Hill Shattered Memories is a remake. It's
Let's
not.
Let's argue
different.
About semantics, things people care about.
What if we just want like a couple of games remade, not like every single video game?
I don't want any video games remade. I want people to come up with original ideas. You've seen it in film. You've seen endless films that are either remakes of previous films or books or TV shows or other stuff like that. Like, how many films have you seen in the last year that have been original things that have been thought of by themselves? If we don't stop buying remakes, then the whole video game industry is going to turn into remakes and you're going to have no one but yourselves to blame.
Okay, so what new ideas would you like to see happen?
What ideas would I like to see happen?
That makes any sense in English.
Okay, what about a bald space marine goes back in time to defeat an androgynous teenage Hitler?
No, that sounds original. That's like the next Time Splitters if they ever make it.
Yeah. If only.
I would pay for that if they had Time Splitters 4, it would be 4, right? Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that existed already.
Was about Cortez going back in time to defeat androgynous Hitler. I would buy that in a heartbeat. I'd probably buy Time Splitters 4 in a heartbeat, anyways. But still,
I think there's some sort of Japanese anime where Hitler is a lolly.
Yeah, well, it's not a lolly, but there is something like that. Yeah,
there is a manga where he turns into a Super Saiyan.
Yeah, Super Aryan. The Super Aryan.
Super Aryan.
I would watch that.
No, but the thing is, going back in time to kill Hitler, that was Red Alert.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Alert.
Red Alert 1 did that, and eventually Stalin took over, and Red Alert 2 is just Red Alert 1 again.
And you're saying that... Hang on, you're saying that Einstein was a bald space marine.
Yeah.
Okay.
That hair was totally...
Hey, can't argue
isn't
with that.
It cool?
You can't have hair that
Isn't
black.
It the best?
There's your lolly Hitler.
Wait, which one is Hitler?
The blonde, blue-eyed one.
None of them fucking look like Hitler.
Or was it just...
Why doesn't she have the little mustache?
It's a scary thought.
On his pussy.
It's a scary thought when you can know what game they're from.
Wait, why is that one Hitler? That's not Hitler at all.
Well, if he can change himself into a lolly, why can't he just change himself to an Aryan lolly?
Yeah.
That doesn't even look like Hitler.
Why didn't they give her the little mustache?
It is on him, it's just on her pussy.
Oh, damn. Oh, no.
That's racist. Who's the there's a really tall guy at the left as well, so he didn't get lollified. He's just still him.
Yeah. Most likely because we need some muscle to pretend that it's not just lollified.
That's just Volgin making a cameo in there.
He looks really unhappy as well.
Because he didn't get to be a lolly.
Why am I doing these fucking little girls? Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to be a Nazi.
It's actually not an anime. It's a resource resource strategy eroge or erotic game.
Can you romance Girl Hitler?
It's for the people who did Sengoku rants. As I was saying earlier, it's scary when you actually know what they're from. You go, oh God. How do I recognize stuff like this? I spend too much time on the internet.
So can you romance Hitler? Because if so, I will stream this.
Maybe.
It's not in English yet, so you have to wait.
Oh, okay.
I'm actively following it.
I will get Juicy to translate it for me as I'm playing.
It is a resource strategy eroge set in a speculative past/future 939 AD, where the Empire of Eris, or the British Empire, has discovered some sort of warp technology and has expanded into space, but their imperial subjects are beginning to rebel. Other empires include Gamerica, whose puppet president is controlled by a secret society, the Freemasons.
Gay America.
Most realistic depiction of America in any fiction ever.
Yeah, it's basically America with a G in front of it. There's also the Human Unified Organization Soviet, ruled by a silver-haired lolly Catherine, and Great Joseph slash or Great slash Joseph Stalin composite. And then we also got Lolly Hitler.
So this is what you want, Catsman. This is what you want for video games.
Who's Lolly Winston Churchill?
Is it an original idea?
No. Who's Lolly Winston Churchill? Is it a little fat girl who eats cake and rum?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Lolly Winston Churchill.
I want Lolly Winston Churchill. I just want it to be a little chubby girl who eats cake all the time.
Fund it.
Winston Churchill being photographed in... please tell me somebody else has seen this but me. The picture of Winston Churchill in a really unflattering swimsuit, and you can see the outline of his dick very well. And he looks really unhappy.
I have not seen your erotic pictures of Churchill, man.
Is he hung like a gazelle?
No, not really. And Hitler actually commented on
his
photo.
Facebook profile.
No, but he said that. He said that no world leader should allow himself to be photographed in a swimsuit.
Well, Hitler was a prude, and that's why he lost to glorious Churchill.
Apparently, the game is getting some sort of UK publisher. TL Wiki. Anyone ever heard of that?
Nope. But this shows how comfortable with our sexuality Europe is as opposed to America.
There it is. Yeah. Please take a look.
I mean, gay America.
Gay America.
Oh, I'm not going to get over that one.
Oh, come on. I expected a nice bikini. You're disappointing me.
I love his facial expression. It's my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
He looks so disgruntled.
Jesus
Christ. He always
looks
disgruntled. Whoa. You're right. That's not a very flattering photo of Churchill.
Jeez.
I was thinking like a Speedo, but Jesus Christ.
Churchill doesn't give a shit. He just doesn't give a shit.
His balls are like two grapefruits. It's like a grapefruit with a strawberry on the end.
God damn it.
Oh damn, Churchill. Take it, yo, how you going?
I think the podcast just had a Leon footlong moment.
Oh god, no. No, not, that's not a footlong moment, because we'd still be going. Wow.
Yeah.
We will link this picture in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can all make suggestions on what his cock and balls look like.
I should just let me see,
if you can give us the best fruit analogy for Churchill's cock and balls, then you win a free copy of Your Doodles Are Bugged.
I should just get that section of the picture and just use it as my Steam avatar.
I think Winston is taking the term purse a little too literally.
Oh Jesus, it's a coin wallet. God damn.
Okay, so I wanted to ask, since Catsman asked, because we never got the answer, I just didn't listen hard enough, but what are your thoughts, what are your predictions about the PS4?
I'm pretty sure I just listed off a whole bunch of bullshit. It'll be able to read your mind, and if it detects dirty thoughts, then it'll turn itself off.
And does 240 frames per second?
No, it doesn't do
that. From that, I mean, no games again, or are we going to change the policy? Because considering how it went the last time, I wouldn't be surprised if they go for something completely different.
At this point, we are beyond games.
Isn't that
Sony, basically, they look at making a new console and they're like, right, what we need to do is we need to bundle in as many useless features as possible, right? To really inflate the price, right, on that end. Sort of like Nintendo did with the Wii U. And then they're like, right, okay, we got all that? Okay, now let's, a year into its lifetime, let's release a new version of the hardware that's much better, and then let's keep doing that until it's a success.
Wouldn't that mind reading function screw over Hyperdimension Neptuna fans?
You you'd need to homebrew your PS4 for that.
I don't know, honestly. They were already losing a lot of money a while back. I don't know if they'll try to make the same shit again and again and again. Else they're just going to stop making consoles.
They will.
I'm not sure they can do it forever, that's all. I mean, I can understand they have no imagination, okay, but after some point, they just won't have any money to throw into this anymore. I mean, the PS3 sold like shit, I think. And if it
hasn't
keeps
the PS3 actually
bullshit.
Outsold PlayStation 360 now?
It has just globally outsold the 360, yeah.
Interesting.
But there was probably a better profit margin on the 360 from Microsoft.
Yeah, certainly.
Anyway, all they need to do with the PS3 is just release it with just the controller and then hope the 360, the 720 or whatever, comes up with some bullshit controller that means everyone who wants to play with a normal controller goes to the PS4 and win.
Exactly. That's all they have to do is wait for Microsoft to fuck up. Like, hey, this console only runs Windows 8 and you can only control it with a touchscreen and you can only run Microsoft-approved dating simulators or whatever. It'll be fine. Steve Ballmer dating simulator.
Or motion controls of the future, and we have decided that all our games will function only based on motion controls.
No, we'll go from motion control to emotion control. if you're playing like Azura's Wrath, you can only play it if you're like really fucking mad. Or if you're playing like, you know, Hyperdimension or whatever, you can play it only if you've got like if you're like really horny or something.
Or even better, you know, a game shuts itself off as soon as you get pissed while playing it.
It shuts itself off unless you worship Kaz Harai every 5 minutes.
That would actually be a neat gameplay idea. Like, if you're playing COD, if it detects that you're getting mad, it would suspend you from playing until you calm the fuck down.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine every time you're about to get pissed, you just force yourself to keep calm, not just have the game shut down on you.
I've got a better idea, right?
Playing competitive shooters again.
The only controller that it comes with, right, is shaped like a boomerang, and you control all the games by throwing the boomerang and catching it back again. Boom.
Confirmed for Aussie developers.
No one remembers the original.
They could make a full body suit. You know, power glove, but full body version.
You wear the console, just the whole thing.
Yeah, you wear the controller, and some games can be played with your balls, and I don't know, that would be pretty cool.
Please,
let's not talk about skin tight suits and balls. I'm going to have nightmares about this.
Oh, seriously, I think we should, maybe with better tech, but I think the Power Glove, they should remake it. That's one of my crazy ideas. I think we should, not the Power Glove itself with the stupid buttons on it, but something that's controlled by a hand or fist, and not necessarily things.
Fist.
That could be good.
Wait. Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
Let's not combine those ideas.
How would you control a game with your fist?
Controls with your fist. And your cock.
If it was Fisting Simulator 2012, then you'd be set.
Oh, Punch-Out. No, Punch-Out.
I meant hand. Calm the fuck down.
Wait, Punch-Out.
Fuck.
I think we might have broke him.
Yeah, we broke Taco.
That's fine. He's muted himself.
Oh my god.
Power Glove 2 comes out that gives Capcom an excuse to make a God Hand sequel.
No, it doesn't.
Developed by Ninja Theory.
You said it with such authority, like control with your hand or your fist.
It's developed by Ninja
hands.
Theory,
okay.
And like all
Calm
the characters
down.
Say, like, go piss up a rope. And the other one's like, no, you go piss up a rope. I'd play it. More people need to say, go piss up a rope.
More people need to call each other drippy rods.
Drippy rods. I think that the PS4 will be so small you can inhale it and not notice.
Why would they need another small console? Doesn't the Vita already... Well, the Vita's not exactly small, but...
It'll be so shiny that people go blind from looking at it.
Ooh, I want that.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. How do you know what I want and don't want?
I know exactly what you want.
No, you only think you know what I want. Like, you know, the people who make game consoles.
Okay, if I was making it for Matthew Dodds, it would be a console where the only game let you romance a lolly Winston Churchill.
Deal. No taking back.
Okay.
You're now producing me that console.
I don't have any money.
Do a Kickstarter. Yeah.
What would it be called?
Lolly Winston Churchill Kickstarter.
It's a shit name for a Kickstarter. They all have futuristic names, like the Oculus Rift.
Well, something that was just called 90s Arcade Racer is getting funded, so...
Yeah.
Also, not to be weird or anything, but this podcast is starting to drag on.
Yeah, it's super long now.
Yeah. It's,
well, I have to edit it.
It's because, like, I don't know, the beginning was a bit useless. And
was that because
long,
I wasn't
silences.
Here?
It's literally because you weren't here, Dodds.
Good thing I came back then for my cheese on toast.
Was your cheese on toast delicious?
It was. I put brown sauce on it.
See? People here put brown sauce on their cheese and toast, which makes it above the level of a panini.
Can I actually ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
Has anybody heard of this Wizardry Online game?
Something about it.
I've heard of it.
I'm just giving it a shot now, but from what I understand, it's an MMO, but it's got like a permadeath system.
It's a free-to-play MMO, isn't it?
It's free-to-play, yeah, but it's also got a bit of a pay-to-win system in it.
You can pay to resurrect your dead characters.
Something like that. It's like you can pay to like buy health potions or some shit, I don't know.
Sounds crap.
Yeah.
Although Wizardry itself is a very interesting game, because the original Wizardry, which came out in 1983, almost completely inspired Dragon Quest's battle system, which of course became the template for every single JRPG that followed for the next 20 years.
But I saw a picture as well also where you can actually get really fucked up in that, somebody got like literally eviscerated, like cut in half. Like, it's not like, oh no, your character died. It's like, you can get your shit fucked.
Like, all I've been told is if you like Dark Souls, this is MMO Dark Souls. And that's what I've been told, but I don't believe that.
If you like Dark Souls and Minecraft and Diablo 2, then this is the game for you, based on ancient Greek mythology. And there's a pyramid.
Am I wrong if I don't like Diablo 2?
Yes.
Diablo 2.
Diablo 2 is only good because of nostalgia for me, I think. And
You played it when you were in, like, year 8.
How is year 8 not nostalgia?
Well, you know, that was, like, 4 years or something after it came
out. Year 8 was not 4 years ago. Oh, 4 years after it came out. Well, I guess so.
And the
still nostalgia.
But you liked it when it came out, so... There must have been something about it. Don't say it wasn't outdated when it came out, because it was outdated when it came out, both graphically.
I don't understand what point you're making.
Saying that the game is already not new, so you shouldn't feel nostalgic.
Why not?
Because usually games whose only good point is being nostalgic means that they were good, but today are shit.
No, I'm nostalgic about Diablo 2 because it reminds me of simpler times and the fun times that I had.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I find it to suck. A bit.
Well, like, for instance, like, another game that I'm playing through right now is Morrowind, right?
But
I tried playing it without the overhaul, and I couldn't really do it. And now, you know, I'm playing with the overhaul, and, like, you know, it's more tolerable now. But, you know, a reason that people, you know, kind of go back and see, like, it's a great game and all that. Like, but I can see some people saying, like, oh, it's only good for nostalgia because, you know... You know,
Morrowind is
and stuff.
Morrowind is pretty strong still today as an RPG, but
awesome combat that Morrowind has
the general story. The general story. The combat was always awful in all Elder Scrolls. Maybe Skyrim's a bit better, but the overall story was honestly pretty nice.
That's what I'm saying. The story is pretty cool. Like, this is the first time I've gotten this far in the main storyline, and I'm really liking it. for the most
part. I never cared for the story in Elder Scrolls.
Seems like everybody's a douchebag, though, and even the main character.
What do you care about? Yeah, everybody's a douche in Morrowind. Everybody.
It's sort of like...
Outlander!
No, it's worse than Outlander. Yes, like, Outlander. Even the guys who are friendly are complete assholes to you.
Noir. No, but I mean like the main people and shit, like Vivek. Guy's a fucking ass. He's a faggot. Hate him. Not that gay people are bad or anything, but just fuck him. Like, the Dagoth Ur guy is almost better.
I think it sounded crazy, but yeah, he was sort of...
Apart from being crazy and turning everybody into flesh monsters, I mean, yeah. But, you know, they're all dicks. I hear Almalexia, or whatever the fuck her name is, apparently she's crazy as shit.
So I've just received some interesting information.
Apparently, just breaking news.
Breaking news.
I might know what you're talking about.
I'm looking at some stuff on that website that keeps track of games that get added to like the Steam database and stuff like that.
I saw that too.
And apparently, Halo 3 popped up on there.
The fuck?
What? Yep.
Like, would it be on Steam right now?
I called that would be on Steam like 5 years ago, and it never went on.
There's a couple of links for you to look at.
Could just be hype.
I also recently saw that Brutal Legend popped on that list too.
The fuck is this?
Brutal Legend.
Hang on, there's even a community page, so it's not just it popping up on like the app thing, it's actually on the community page.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
This is bullshit.
Announcement Sony's gonna make.
The Halo 3 will be on the PS3. They don't gain from it at all. They just want to fuck with Microsoft.
It's like, we announced it first, Microsoft. Eat a dick! God.
They called dibs on it first. No one ever thought of that idea.
We're to wrap it up. We've been going for 2 hours, 40 minutes now.
Hell for Happy Man to edit.
Yep.
Most of it was shit, but whatever.
So, for the last segment, Catspan is going to read a fanfic. Please tell us about it.
It's a fanfic.
Cool.
About Obama?
Obama. I forgot about Obama fic. We need to find that.
I'll read about Obama this podcast.
Yeah, I'm making it my mission to find an Obama fanfic.
It had been 3 weeks since the ball game, and Obama was swiftly losing his mind. He was in the bathroom washing his face at 4 a.m. because he didn't want to fall asleep for some reason. The sight of his face, looking a full 10 years older since the nightmare started, was hysterically funny to him. He broke out into laughter and immediately clapped a hand over his mouth as the jarring, almost inhumane sound reverberated harshly off the tiled walls. Above the hand clasped desperately over his mouth, his bloodshot eyes stared, terrified, out of the mirror, and, even more angrily, dark shapes and movement played at the edges of his vision. Obama felt seized by a sense of unreality. Who was this person in the mirror? Who was he? What had happened to the president that had so loved his country, replaced by a shell that was frightened as if it was a child? In a daze, Obama walked back to the Oval Office, ignoring the stirring dark forms he sensed in the peripherals all the time now. He was exhausted beyond measure and at a loss. How could he perform in this state? How could he once again discover his love for America? Obama slid into the dim Oval Office like a ghost and stopped short, all the breath rushing out of him as if from a blow to the stomach. There, on the Oval Office desk, lay a hot dog, a perfect replica of the one he had eaten at the ball game, what seemed like eons ago. In that moment, Obama knew what he had to do. He had to make love to the hot dog. Obama drifted towards the desk as if in a dream, fists clenched at his side, fingernails digging half moons into his palms. He only stopped walking when the desk was pressing into his stomach, and he was gazing down at the sparkling beauty that was the hot dog. His fists shook. Would this hot dog disappear when he tried to touch it, as so many of his dreams did? Obama relaxed his fists with effort and raised a trembling hand, extending a finger to delicately stroke the hot dog's single dill pickle. The hot dog did not disappear, the pickle's skin cold under his finger pads, and a soft joy flickered to life in Obama's heart. He stroked the pickle again, reveling in the goosebumps that spread up his arm. He raised the finger to his mouth and tasted pickle juice. Tangy, delicious. He needed more. Obama's hands returned to the hot dog, reverently cupping its buns and stroking its length. "You're so beautiful," Obama whispered, and feathered a thumb under a tomato slice. He bent down and reveled in the warm, heady scent of a Chicago-style hot dog, while his hands grew bolder, rougher, until he could wait no longer. Obama cradled the hot dog in his hands and brought it to his lips, kissing it with the fervor of a man lost in a hot dogless desert for 2 months and then suddenly presented with a hot dog. At first, he tried to spare the hot dog the brunt of his passion, his lips pressing tenderly again and again against the all-beef frankfurter, but he knew that he could not resist for long. As he parted his lips, he had his first taste of mustard. Obama groaned and lost some of his control. His hands clenched harder around the hot dog, and his tongue slipped out to flick against the dog. And he found himself crawling onto the desk as he held the hot dog desperately to his face. He rolled over, hot dog on top, and began pulling at his shirt. He was wearing far too many clothes. The shirt hit the floor, and Obama clutched the hot dog to his chest. Mustard, onions, and relish smeared across his chest as he whimpered as all the blood in his body rushed south. He didn't have to play nice anymore. This hot dog was going to get it fast and rough. Obama brought the hot dog to his lips again, the force of his hands around it causing a tomato slice to fall onto his stomach with a plop. "You're so wet," he growled into the hot dog, and knew he could take it no longer. Obama needed this hot dog in him. Now. Obama placed the hot dog back on the desk so he could continue to pepper it with insistent kisses while he flipped himself over, bent over the desk now, and fought furiously with his belt. He managed to get his pants down just far enough and wet his fingers with delicious pickle relish before reaching behind him, gasping at the cold sensation at his most sensitive of places. "Are you ready?" he asked the hot dog breathlessly, not waiting for an answer. He tore the hot dog from its bun, heedless of any embarrassment the hot dog might feel, and buried his face in the desk as he positioned it behind him. He began pressing it forward, slowly, torturously, the beginning of that wonderful pressure and... "Sir?" Obama whipped his head around to see a Secret Service agent. All of the blood drained from his face as he beheld the president bent over his own desk, pants falling to his ankles. "What have I told you about knocking before entering my office?" Obama screamed hysterically. Sorry, sir. The door slut with a sham. Did I just say the door slut with a sham? Fine, leave it in. And Obama was about to return to his hot dog loving. But something was wrong. His hands were empty. "No! No!" Obama frantically cast around the Oval Office, but it was no use. His clothes lay on the floor, but there was no hot dog, no sweet pickle relish smeared across his chest, no tomato seeds between his teeth, and no remnants of a poppy seed bun on his desk. The hot dog, like so much else, had gone from Obama's life. He dropped to his knees, heedless of the pain that shot up his legs at the impact, and shouted in anguish over his lost love. "No!" Obama screamed, but no hot dog came in the night to comfort him. Obama lowered his head to his hands and wept.
Did they ever make a novelization of Nalen Palin?
I don't... I have a vague image in my head of what that is, and my gut instinct is to say I don't want to know.
It's a porno that some porno company made with Sarah Palin and Barack Obama.
Ever made a fake... Well, it was mostly about Palin, right? Just...
Yeah.
After the campaign was over. Barack was an actor?
Some guy portraying Barack, at least.
Now that would be
the real one. I'm disappointed.
To portray Barack Obama in a porn movie.
Yeah.
Better him than Bush.
I don't know how to make that this so fun.
And then surprise Bill Clinton.
This has been
Clinton Obama.
Oh my god.
Clinton Obama threesome. Aw, oh, yeah.
I'm so depressed. Please let me end this podcast.
Do it.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Video. This podcast went on for really fucking long, and I'm depressed now because I'm going to have to edit it. We have been Happy Man and other nice people, such as these people. I'm... Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long.
Sounds like I have to change it to 99% pure spaghetti.
I have a habit of completely fucking up my sentences when doing outros.
Yeah, I fucking, like, for one of the podcasts, I swear to God, I was trying to read the outro, and I accidentally read the intro, that was like, welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Video, right at the end of the podcast, and got to the point where I was introducing people before I realized. And then another time, I kept saying, like 2 weeks instead of three, and I said it like three times. Like, just reading outros is hard as shit. No one appreciates my pain except Happy Man.